only defeated last night. Proponents of the amendment said that up to $25 million annually would be spent on tourism promotion. Opponents, led by John Dill, said Coloradans weren't fooled by Wembley Corporation.
They understood this was about putting gigantic mega casinos in our major cities and towns. Colorado voters liked the kind of gambling they have. They didn't want to see it expanded. They didn't like the idea that this shadowy corporation didn't come forward and introduce themselves.
London-based Wembley Corporation supported the amendment but was hampered by indictments in New Hampshire. During the campaign, both sides spent a record $9.4 million on the amendment. The city of Denver is not going into the peace business. By a margin of 68% to 32, voters rejected an initiative that would have forced city government to enact measures aimed at promoting peace. The proposal's most vocal opponent, City Councilman Charlie Brown, said the citizenry saw this ballot measure for what it was.
Denver's Western history and common sense emerged, and you know, we know a snake oil initiative when we see it.
The initiative sought to reduce stress citywide by providing free massages, piping mellow music into public buildings, and improving the quality of school lunches. Two-thirds of Colorado voters gave thumbs down to Referendum A. Passage of the measure would have given Governor Bill Owens $4 billion to fund reservoirs, dams, and other water projects. However, the proposal lacked specificity, and its leading opponent, Attorney General Ken Salazar, wasn't surprised the people said no.
I think the voters of Colorado understand the importance of water, and they know that we need to work towards realistic solutions, and they really felt that Referendum A was not a realistic solution.
Salazar says there are indeed realistic solutions for the state's water issues, and that they can be crafted in such a way to accommodate the concerns of people on the Front Range and the Western Slope. So-called partial birth abortions are now illegal. President Bush inked his name to a measure banning the procedure today in a special bill signing ceremony in Washington. This is the first federal limit on a specific type of abortion since the U.S. Supreme Court confirmed a woman's constitutional right to end her pregnancy in the 1973 Roe v. Wade decision. Supporters of the ban use words like horrific and barbaric to describe the late-term abortion procedure. Opponents complain that the legislation does not contain exemptions to protect the health and life of a woman. A Seattle-area man admitted today to being the deadliest serial killer in our nation's history. Correspondent George Lynn has more.
Gary Ridgway has pleaded guilty to murdering 48 women over a period of 2 decades. He admitted to the crimes as part of a deal with prosecutors to avoid the death penalty. He will instead spend the rest of his life in prison without the possibility of parole. Ridgway cooperated with detectives towards the end of the investigation by helping them locate missing victims. That was pivotal in avoiding the death penalty. George Lynn, Seattle.
Tears of joy are streaming from many of the faces of those gathered at San Diego Bay for the return of the USS Nimitz. The 6,000 military personnel on the vessel had spent the last 8 months taking part in Operation Iraqi Freedom. Many are returning to see their newborn babies for the first time. Meanwhile, a U.S. senator is demanding answers following Sunday's deadly attack on a U.S. military helicopter in Iraq. Illinois Democrat Dick Durbin wants to know if the Chinook had the proper anti-missile equipment on board. The biggest name in software is putting up some big bucks in an attempt to bring down cyber criminals. Microsoft, the Secret Service, the FBI, and Interpol have joined forces to catch those behind the MS Blast and So Big computer bugs. In addition, Microsoft is offering a $500,000 reward total for information leading to the arrest of the authors of these very lethal viruses. The bounty comes at a time when computer security experts say the trail to catch those behind the Blaster and So Big viruses has run cold. The landscape of the New York Stock Exchange is changing in the wake of questionable governing practices of its former board. Interim Chairman John Reed has named 8 candidates to replace the NYSE's current board. Former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright is among the nominees, who would face yearly re-election with no term limits set. In sports, it's a big meeting tonight as two rookies meet for the first time on the court since they were in high school. The Denver Nuggets' Carmelo Anthony will be on the court tonight against the Cleveland Cavaliers' LeBron James. The Nuggets are 2-2, while the Cavs are 0-3 this season. Try the new savory mustard fire grilled chicken baguette, only 5 grams of fat, that gets its flavor from fire grilling. Come on over, the fire's ready. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News time is 12:05.
So, you went to college, got a great education, and the student loans to prove it. Now do something really smart. Call 1-800-2-COLLEGE anytime, 24/7, and we'll help you lock in a rate as low as 3.5%. These federal loans have no fees, costs, or credit checks. Call 1-800-2-COLLEGE to speak with a college loan professional who will help you lower your monthly payment and lock in these record low rates. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make. If the unpredictable economy and skyrocketing tuitions have left you wondering how to pay for a college education, here's your answer. 1-800-2-COLLEGE provides federal parent and student loans with interest rates as low as 3.5%, the lowest rates in nearly 40 years. We've helped over 100,000 families achieve their higher education goals, and with rates as low as 3.5%, we'd like to help you, too. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. Call anytime, 24/7.
KNRC News Time is 12:06. Time to check with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by XL Energy, trying to clear a couple accidents, one at Bayard and Kalamath, another at Santa Fe and Mississippi. Watch for those two spots. Everything else up and out of the way and moving rather nicely. A little bit heavy through the Central Valley, but no reason for it. Using a programmable thermostat can save you up to $75 a year. Visit the Home Energy Analyzer tool at xlenergy.com for more energy-saving tips. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC Traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with a KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Cloudy with a slight chance of a snow shower today, some fog, maybe a few pockets of freezing drizzle, the high 34. Cloudy with fog developing for tonight as well, 21. And we'll look for clouds in the morning Thursday, then partly cloudy, 41. Gets warmer Friday, partly sunny with a high near 50. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's cloudy, 31 degrees. KNRC News Time is 12:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 12:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Now, the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
12:07, 7 minutes after 12 o'clock. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3, noon to 3 on KNRC. Everybody's out today with colds, and I'm going to get my flu shot this afternoon, but I don't know if I'm going to last. I have the sniffles, too. So I think it's just going around. Somebody else I talked to today also has kind of down with whatever is going around. So get your flu shot. I called my doctor's office to find out if there's any reason to go to the doc to get the flu shot or if you should just go wherever they're giving them, like at the grocery stores. And I see just various locations around. I think they gave them out at Costco. I saw a sign. And King Supers, I think they were giving flu shots. I got mine last year at King Supers, and they said it's all the same. And I think it's the Visiting Nurses Association, and usually there's a copay of $20 or so, whatever you go to the doctor anyhow. So it costs it's going to cost you $20 out of your pocket. But I have found that those flu shots have really been helpful. I used to get really horrible cases of the flu, and the flu, if you look back in history, there were flu epidemics, pandemics, actually, and many, many people died. So the flu, don't write it off. It's not a day at the beach. Get a flu shot. If you are somebody who qualifies, check with your doc if you can tolerate it. I think you have to not be allergic to eggs and who knows what all else. So get the okay first, but if the doc says it's okay, I found that they are very useful to have. There's lots to talk about today. Are you happy with the way the election came out I was sitting around. I did get my ballot in on time. For all of you who are twitting me because I'm saying that Democrats are smarter than Republicans, that I'm too stupid to figure out the ballot. Well, you do have a point. But the thing is, it was just done so that it's not user-friendly. It should have been done much better. It was done very low rent. It was done in a very confused way. So whoever was in charge of figuring it out did not do a very good job. The bureaucracy failed us on this one. But it looks like the election came out pretty much the way we all hoped it would, so that's good news. If you want to comment on the election results, I'd like to hear from you, 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. One of the things that happened, and we were talking about this last night, I was with some friends, and I thought I could get some of the skinny on it, but I haven't been able to get anything, and this is somebody who might have been in a position to know. Remember, we've been talking about the head of the convention board, the Denver Metro Convention and Visitors Bureau. Various members of its businesses. It's like a little chamber of commerce here. Various businesses are members of the convention bureau because it's to their benefit. Conventioners come into town, and if you own a restaurant or if you own a strip club, a gentleman's club, whatever they call those things, you want people to come to your club. You want to increase your business, right? I mean, you don't have to be a genius, I don't think, to figure that one out. So here we have the head of the Denver Metro Convention and Visitors Bureau, a guy named Eugene Dilbeck. We're in November sweeps. As I've explained to you, this is November and May are the time in television when the ratings, when the advertising rates are set based on the ratings. So you want to jack up those ratings as high as you possibly can, because in doing that, you have also jacked up the revenues. Okay? So the ratings set how much you can charge for the advertising time. The higher your ratings, the more you can charge for your advertising time. Got that? So in November, that's when you're seeing all these, a whole spate of investigative reporting. That's when you see the series, I Was a Lesbian Nun. That's when you see all that kind of stuff going on. And then you can, and it's also the time of year when the programming is so rich and so many terrific choices that you can hardly decide what you're going to watch, because you're hit all at once with everything tasty. That aside, Channel 7, looking for ratings just like all the other television stations are, does a story on an after-hours event at the Convention Bureau. After-hours, now apparently this is pretty usual. The Palm Restaurant sponsored one, various restaurants have sponsored them. This one was sponsored by the Diamond Cabaret Strip Club. The head of the Convention Bureau, Dilbeck, did not go. Some of his employees did go. This strip club, the Diamond Cabaret, is a member of the Convention Bureau. It's done as a way to acquaint convention people with what the club has to offer. You can talk it up then when you've got conventions coming to town and so on. And remember, these clubs are just a few steps away from the convention center. No public monies were used that we know of. Channel 7 does a report that some of these employees were at the after-hours event, which are usually typically sponsored by convention bureau members, member businesses. The head of it, Dilbeck, was not there. The only thing he did is he refused to open up his books to Channel 7. Now, if there's a backstory here, if this guy has a history of bad blood and it's politics and who knows what else, that's one thing. And I can't comment on that. I'm only commenting on what I'm seeing here in the press. And my success, my ability to get some background information has been unsuccessful so far. But on the basis of that Channel 7 nothing story that just says that some people from the bureau were at the strip club in an after-hours event to familiarize, I imagine, people from the convention bureau with that particular business, just as the Palm has done that, to familiarize people from the convention bureau with the Palms, which John Lindor from the Rocky Mountain News gave him like a D or a D- for the food. But in any event, it's a power center in town, allegedly. So this guy got fired. The head got fired just because this was the sort of it seems to me, an empty calorie story on Channel 7. If anybody saw the story, I'd like to hear from you. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. I'm surprised. It makes Denver look very unsophisticated. And I don't see what the guy did wrong, to tell you the truth, other than he didn't tell his bosses or the people who supervise him that 7 had been doing a story. So that particular boss was caught blindsided. Maybe that was his big mistake. But I don't see why he got fired. Apparently, according to a number of sources here in the story, this guy has done a lot to bring convention business to Denver. You bring convention business to Denver, you're helping the hotels, you're helping the restaurants, you're helping the economy of Denver. I don't have to spell that out for you, do I? So that's what's going on. Now, we have had Brian Moss on, who is a wonderful investigative reporter for Channel 4, and Channel 4 is our television partner. And again, we're in November sweeps. Brian's last story that he talked to us about was finding truancy officers for the Denver public school system who were themselves truant. They didn't do too much. They get up late, work out for a couple hours, have a long lunch, and then visit friends in the afternoon. You know, you don't want to get a hernia there from overwork. And I got an email, a bunch of them, from Eric, one of our listeners. And Eric has said the following. He said in his email, these guys like Brian Moss and so on are always doing these stories of city workers. And here's the Channel 9 report. In today's Denver Post, this is the showing Denver Parks and Rec workers playing basketball in Washington Park while on the clock. Well, okay, as Jordan Lyles, the guy who keeps us on the air, Board Up, says, la, la, la. You know, there are a million of these stories. Okay, we need to root them out. They're on the public dime. We don't want... But what about, as Eric, our listener, wisely points out, what about all those stories that involve Governor Owens? What about all the big power brokers in town? And we never hear any kind of investigative stories about those folks, really. Not any big ones, not any blockbusters. We hear about the guy, the police officer, who hops out in the middle of the day and doesn't sign himself out of the clock to take a lucrative job where he gets a ton of money to direct parking at a fancy school, and then, you know, the records somehow are doctored for him. We got those stories, and we should have those stories. They're juicy, good stories. We don't want to pay for these guys to be double-dipping on our dime. But it's pennies compared to what these big power brokers are doing. And we never hear those investigative pieces. Now, granted, they're tough, they're complicated, they're expensive to do. Investigative reporting is very expensive to accomplish. And when you're doing it for television, when you've got a half an hour newscast, you're going to have about 22 minutes, an hour, I don't know, what have you got there? Double it, I guess. You don't have a lot of time, and television is not necessarily a medium that lends itself to subtlety, but I certainly would like to see stories about these big power brokers, because here we're saving pennies on the dollar with these stories about the truant officer who's truant himself, and he should be exposed, or she, whoever. But what about the big guys who keep doing business blithely because we're amusing ourselves with the park and rec workers, or we're amusing ourselves with the non-story? To me, it's anyway non-story, unless there's more to this that will emerge. The convention bureau chief, who some of his folks went to an after-hours event sponsored by a convention bureau member business. This is the Cabaret Strip Club, just inches away from the convention center, where a lot of conventioneers, the minute they leave their wives behind in Kansas, they can't wait to get over there really fast. I guess they've never seen breasts before. I'd say go to the supermarket and get yourself a chicken. So we don't hear the stories about the big guys. All right, now, let me add a little juicy that I have heard. We know that Governor Owens and his wife are involved in what has been called a trial separation. And I said then it had to be pretty bad, and she must have put the kibosh on it, because he would be committing political suicide to walk away from a marriage and have a divorce on his hands if he were aspiring to higher office. And we have not heard much since then. We did hear from Michael Tracy, the new media columnist, the new media critic at the Rocky Mountain News, saying that because Governor Owens has run on a platform of family values, if he is engaged in adulterous behavior, or Mrs. Owens is, that is newsworthy. Well, I thought about that, and we talked about it, and that was a lively conversation that we had. And now the rumors are beginning to surface. And the rumors are, and we haven't seen them anyplace, I haven't seen them in any of the newspapers, I haven't heard about them anyplace. It's November sweep, so maybe our television stations could be doing some inside reporting on this very thing. But the rumors are surfacing that Governor Owens has a girlfriend and that she is an attorney. Now, if that's true, and that they're trysting at the governor's mansion, that's where it's happening. La, 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 as Jordan Lyles would say. Well, if that's true, a governor who ran on the basis of family values, who canceled a speech he was giving to a group that might have been focused on the family, or a group like focus on the family, I don't remember which, because this trial separation was in the works, and at least you got to give him high marks for sanctimony, but he wasn't willing to lard it on with too much more hypocrisy than he had already added to this mix. If it's true, and I have it from a pretty good source, how come we don't see it in the newspapers? It's a story. It would be a story in juicy celebrity times, even if he didn't run on family values. Because this isn't the 1960s where JFK could have a succession of girlfriends into the White House, and there were two twins, one called Fiddle and one called Faddle. So Fiddle Faddle used to come and visit him at the White House, those two. But we are in celebrity juicy times where all this stuff, where post Bill Clinton, it's all a story. But added to the fact that Governor Owens has run on a platform of family values that has been a cornerstone of his career, if it's true, these rumors that I'm hearing, and I'm hearing them from people who are in a position to know, it's a girlfriend, she's an attorney, maybe a staff member, I don't know, she's in her, we think in her 30s. He's in his, what, he's about 50 or so in his 50s. Oh, what a surprise there. And that the trysting is occurring at the governor's mansion, where many deals have gone down, and apparently that's one more. I don't know. But if it's true, how come we're not seeing that kind of investigative reporting? We're seeing park and rec workers playing basketball. We're seeing the truant officers truant themselves. But nothing about the big boys and all the ways that they're screwing us, the citizens, and all the ways that they are cheating us and cheating on their wives. And I'm going to tell you something. If they cheat on their wives, if they have no scruples and they're willing to cheat on their wives and therefore their families, why would they not cheat on us? The taxpayer, the constituent, the sucker, you know, we're smart. They pander to us. They promise they'll call us the next day. They promise they're going to marry us. And then after the election, after they've gotten our vote, after they screwed us for our vote, we never hear from them again. They don't do anything for us. They're doing it all for themselves. 303-382-1150. Sherry calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, Enid. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
You know, it just blows me away what hypocrites these people that run on the family values picket are. It's just like all the, those guys that tried to persecute Clinton. Clinton never claimed to be holier than thou. But Bob Barr, Newt Gingrich, that tall congressman or senator with the white hair.
Henry Hyde.
They were all cheaters. They were all, and you know what? Nobody said anything about it. Clinton never said that he was a goody two-shoe.
We knew going in when you saw that CBS interview with when they brought before he was elected the first the first time with Hillary, and they brought up Jennifer Flowers.
Exactly.
Hillary had her. She was effectively saying to the rest of us, "Look, we've had problems. We've worked it out. It's
right.
Our business. It's not yours. I'm standing by my man." So we all thought if it's okay with her, clearly she knew something was up, then it's going to be okay with us. It's none of our business.
You know what? When someone plays this holier-than-thou game, this righteous game, and they turn out to be hypocrites, they're way worse than Clinton ever could be.
Well, I'm with you, and I don't know why the newspapers aren't doing some kind of follow-up on it. I thank you, Sherry, for the call. 303-382-1150. Peter calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1150.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Peter.
How's it going?
Good.
Did you listen to my tape?
Oh, I'm starting to listen to your tape. I heard the title song. I apologize to you. I have 5 minutes of free time in my whole life, so I'm listening to it in bits and pieces. And when I listen to all of it, I'll get back to you.
Great. You know, just what you're touching on here, a couple of things. What do we send three nuns to jail because they spray painted a missile silo
with their own blood? No,
yeah,
they put their own. They made a cross
blood,
with their own blood.
Yet. Where's Ken Lay? You know? Where's Ken Lay? Why isn't he in jail?
Well, he's probably not going into jail. And I want to just say, if you looked at the business pages today, it's one scandal after another. It's Tyco. It's Putnam Securities. They're looking at Prudential Securities now. There are two or three other big-name businesses that are being looked at or under the gun for fraud. I mean, it's just, Scrushy, Health South.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just one fraud after another. And what we are a bunch of suckers. And when they promise us the moon when they're courting us for our vote, and then they completely ignore us and worse, gouge us afterward, I mean, I think it just makes a picture.
Yep. Hey, you know, Enid, recently you were talking about the Denver Police Department needing to send 800 officers to issue a ticket. Remember?
Say this again?
I may be hyperbole here, but you were recently speaking about the DPD, Denver Police, needing to send an inordinate amount of police officers to issue a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
This morning, I was down on the 16th Street Mall. There was a police car driving down the mall, and the two officers in the car were on their loudspeaker telling a bicyclist to get off the mall, that there's no that you cannot drive a bicycle on the mall. Within 30 seconds, this is no exaggeration, there were three more police cars.
This is amazing.
To issue a ticket, presumably.
So four of them swooped down to issue a ticket to a bicyclist on the mall?
Yeah. I guess that either the donut shop was closed or there were no teenage retarded black kids to kill in Denver. I mean, what are they doing?
Peter, well, we will leave it with that question, and I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. 383-382-1150. Tony Kovaleski. Hi, you're live with Enid. How are you?
Hi, Enid. How are you?
Good.
Hey, getting phone calls. I understand there's been a topic of conversation over our story, and I just wanted to give you a call and answer
did
any questions
you do, did you
have.
Did you do the story, Tony?
I did the investigation, yes.
All right. What was the story exactly? Because it strikes me as not much of a story, and it got this guy fired. Why is it a story?
Well, you know what? If you just look at the strip club issue, you may say it that way, Enid, but our story was about public accountability of tax dollars. 17 million tax dollars in the past 3 years to this organization that has refused to be accountable for those monies. After our investigation aired, and you know, a lot of people focusing on what happened at the strip club. Certainly that's part of the story.
But there were no public monies used at the strip club, according to the print reports that I was looking at. It was some people went, who are members of the Convention Bureau, went after hours, that these events are routinely held by Convention Bureau businesses, the Palm being one of them, that Dilbeck himself had not gone, and that according to the version I read in the Post or the Rocky or both, no public monies were used by these employees going to the after-hours event at the strip club, which is a legitimate member business of the Convention Bureau.
And I hear your argument and your point, and the people are getting on to that point, but that is not the issue, and that's not why Mr. Dilbeck was fired. Mr. Dilbeck, from my understanding through sources and through what I heard yesterday, was let go for his failure to communicate.
Communicate what?
Communicate
that Seven was doing a story to his superiors, and so their superiors felt blindsided by it?
No. You're almost there.
Okay.
Failure to communicate that they held this event at the Denver Cabaret. When I did the interview with Walter Eisenberg, the board chair for the Convention and Visitors Bureau, he jumped up on a soapbox and he said any event at a strip club is not acceptable in the Denver Metro Convention and Visitors Bureau. Whether it was sponsored, whether they spent money, no event in a strip club is acceptable. He said that on camera two different times. When he was informed by me that they had an event just weeks before our interview.
So he was mad because he was blindsided that he didn't know that there was an event there. But what's the big deal?
It's a member. It's a specific call to Mr. Dilbeck and said, "Is there anything this reporter can ask me that I don't need, that I don't know?" Also, 7 months ago, when we went for the open records to keep this organization accountable for those tax dollars, and remembering that that's the focus of our investigation here, accountability for millions of tax dollars. And after our story, and the real stake to our story, is after what we put on the air, the auditor is now going through their books for the first time in decades and maybe for the first time ever. The city council is in the process of putting together either an ordinance or a change in contract, according to two different council members now, that would make this entity and other entities that receive tax dollars accountable to the public for the money they receive.
So let me ask you, as a course of doing business, weren't his records, didn't they need to be vetted by somebody over the years?
From our understanding until our story aired last Thursday, until our investigation went on Channel 7, never had the city audited those tax dollars.
But we don't know whether there was any impropriety. It's just that for some reason, whether it's an oversight or something else, the city had never audited that money.
It's accountability for
and
tax
he
dollars.
Wouldn't, and he refused to open his books to Channel 7. Why should he if the city wasn't asking for them?
Well, you know what? If you're taking government tax money, if you're taking tax dollars from the public, our opinion at Channel 7 is you should be accountable for those, and that's why we did this story. The other issue,
Well, your opinion also at Channel 7 is you got to do whatever you can. It's November sweeps, Tony.
No, Enid, that's
come
on,
this is part of it.
No, it is.
So why didn't the story air in October?
The story aired when the story was ready to go on TV. We've been airing. Let me tell you about three investigations I aired in October. I aired an investigation in 911 in the city of Denver that dealt with breakdowns in the system that led to changes in the way 911 operates. So now when people call 911 for an emergency, they don't have to sit on hold. We aired an investigation in October on RTD that's led to a state patrol investigation that's ongoing right now. So to say this is about November,
and you guys did some wonderful work on the Air Force Academy.
Yeah,
that
those
whole
stories
scandal
with John Ferrugia have been airing not only from back in February but for the past 6 months. So it's an easy trap for people that want to accuse investigative journalists.
But let's be precise then. He wouldn't open the books to you. We don't really know if there's any kind of impropriety.
He
wouldn't open the books to you. For some reason, there has not been sufficient oversight by the city on the books. This report prompted some oversight, some review by the city to see whether or not there have been improprieties or irregularities. So that's where it is right now. Is that what you're telling me?
Exactly. And if you say, if you look at it and you go, this gentleman was fired because of a strip club issue, you're not looking at what happened.
I'm only going by the print reporting here.
Well, if you looked at the, because I
read these stories very closely because I thought this is a very odd story.
And that's why I'm here to tell you that you're not looking at the entire picture. Those print reporters were there also with me. And the issue that led to Eugene Dilbeck's firing, from everything I've gathered, is his failure to communicate not only on this issue, but apparently on issues before this. So our story may have been the straw that broke the camel's back, but his failure to communicate to the board chairman before he got up on that soapbox and said, no event at a strip club by the Convention and Visitors Bureau is acceptable. He said that. He said that in our story, Walter Eisenberg. I asked him, is spending money at a strip club acceptable according to your budget? He said no, and we have a policy against it.
But they didn't spend any money at the strip club, did they?
Go with me. Go with, they say they didn't. I haven't looked at the records.
All right, that's what I'm going by the reporting where, according to the print reporting, they say they didn't spend any money. And let me just ask.
But they won't let us look at the records to prove it.
All right,
let me go beyond that.
That's a legitimate issue, but let me ask you, Tony, just let me jump in here. The strip club is a legitimate business, a legitimate member of the Bureau, so why suddenly are they treated like pariahs?
I don't think this is about treating the strip club like pariahs. This is an issue of the board chairman said in front of a television camera that any event at a strip club.
Yeah, but it's a legitimate business.
But this is his policy statement. This isn't my opinion. This is the policy statement of the board chairman.
As far as we know, now that is yet to be determined by a third party, but what the reporting was in the paper, the claim was that no public monies were used at the strip club.
Enid, I think the problem here is maybe you're taking the papers verbatim, and the fact is that we broke the story, and I'll tell you that I think we understand it a little bit better than what you're reading.
Well, then let me go back
to my point, okay? So when you ask the board chairman of the Convention and Visitors Bureau for a policy statement, what is your policy when it comes to having events at strip clubs? And he says they are not acceptable.
Was this after the fact,
this was after the event had happened.
Uh-huh.
Clearly, Mr. Eisenberg was not told about this event.
Well, he was blindsided, and I think that's probably the main reason that Dilbeck was fired.
Exactly. Mr. Dilbeck failed to communicate to the board chairman and apparently also the board that he had approved an event at a strip club. Mr. Eisenberg felt that was inappropriate, especially in light industry-wide now. Realize that a story in Dallas about inappropriate spending of taxpayer money at a strip club led to major change at that convention.
Yeah, but Dallas, this is Denver. Dallas.
But it's an industry. Mr. Dilbeck was aware of that story. He was aware when we sat down with him in April asking to look through their records that that's one of the things we wanted to see.
Tony, we're gonna have to leave it there, I'm afraid. We have to check in for news and stuff. But okay. I'm delighted that you called and to set the record straight, and I hope that you will continue to keep us informed.
I welcome you to call me anytime. Remember,
as to what's going on at Channel 7.
Taxpayer money.
Right, but also there is another. We'll see what comes out of the audit, and when will you have some results of the audit?
We are told the audit would take anywhere from 30 to 90 days, and we're going to watch it just like we did for the past 6 months.
But if there was no irregularity shows up in that audit or some murky gray area, then somebody got fired because of for not a lot of reason. Because he didn't tell the boss, and because something happened in Dallas, and because everybody got frightened that it would look bad and that it would have a fishy stink to it. That's the nuance I'm concerned about.
That's not true. 40 leaders of our community met behind closed doors yesterday, and they made a decision based upon the facts that they have, and we have been led to believe it had to do with consistent breakdowns in communication between Mr. Dilbeck, the board, and City Hall, and what we reported last Thursday was the last straw.
You know, we have a bunch of people, actually, who want to talk to you, and we need to take a news break. Do you have some time to stick with us?
I'd be happy to.
I'll tell you what. I'm going to put you on hold, and we will call you back. after, because we have a rather lengthy break here, and I'll call. We'll call you back, and people will can talk to you directly. How does that sound, Tony?
Outstanding.
Does that sound good? Okay, Tony Kovaleski from Channel 7. This is about the convention bureau offloading of the director last night behind closed doors. I'm Enid Goldstein. You are listening to AM 1150 KNRC 303-382-1150 is the number. And if you want to weigh in on this, if you saw the report from Channel 7 or you have questions or you have comments, this is a place to ask them. I'm Enid Goldstein. You are listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live, AM 1150, KNRC. 12:35, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Cloudy, 31 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Diamond Shamrock and Nestle. You'll be paying less for parking in downtown Denver after Thanksgiving. Mayor John Hickenlooper today announced that parking rates will drop to $1 an hour from the current $1.50 starting the day after Thanksgiving. The mayor is also starting a one-year trial of free parking on Sundays that will start the Sunday after Thanksgiving. Lots of no's from voters yesterday. Today, voters said no to Amendment 33 that would have put gambling machines in dog tracks. They said no to Referendum A, which would have given the governor $4 billion for water storage. And Denver voters also said no to the so-called peace initiative that would have forced the city to institute a variety of programs to reduce stress. Denver's Convention Bureau president has been fired following a controversy over a bureau event held at a Denver strip club. Eugene Dilbeck refused to a request to resign, and in a closed-door session, the board of directors decided to go ahead and fire him. The board now plans to look for a replacement for Dilbeck. A 20-year murder spree in Washington State is over with 48 guilty pleas entered today in the so-called Green River serial killer case. As part of the plea bargain reached with prosecutors in King County, Gary Ridgway will avoid the death penalty and spend life in prison with no possibility of parole. President Bush says lawmakers have come to the defense of the innocent child by passing a measure banning so-called partial birth abortions. Bush inked his name to the bill today, saying for decades this terrible form of violence was carried out against children inches from birth. The FBI apparently no longer believes Zacharias Moussaoui was intended to be the so-called 20th hijacker in the September 11th attacks. USA Today cites a top federal law enforcement official as saying the Al-Qaeda operative got into the country but had to leave shortly before the attacks. In sports, the Denver Nuggets take on the Cleveland Cavaliers tonight in Cleveland. It's the first professional meeting between the Nuggets' Carmelo Anthony and the Cavs' LeBron James. Try Nestle's new Toll House cookie and brownie candy bars at Diamond Shamrock Corner stores. Buy two and get one free on all Nestle's candy bars, like Baby Ruth, Butterfinger, or Nestle Crunch. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:37.
KBDI Channel 12 provides more locally produced public affairs programming than any other television broadcaster in Colorado. Join us every Wednesday and Friday for programs that tackle the local issues seriously. KBDI Channel 12, your worldview and community voice.
KNRC News Time is 12:38. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by the 17 John Elway Showrooms. Looking for an accident, westbound I-70 in Vasquez. Also an injury accident, Alameda and Knox Court. Everything else, looking pretty good. All John Elway Showrooms, you can get a brand new 2004 vehicle, but priced like a 2003. No, you're not hearing things. Get 2004 cars and trucks for 2003 prices only at John Elway. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC Traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with a KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Cloudy with a slight chance of a snow shower today, some fog, maybe a few pockets of freezing drizzle, the high 34. Cloudy with fog developing for tonight as well, 21. And we'll look for clouds in the morning Thursday, then partly cloudy, 41. Gets warmer Friday, partly sunny with a high near 50. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's cloudy, 31 degrees. KNRC News Time is 12:39. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's a month of special Ellen events. Next Ellen, Jeff Bridges and Doris Roberts. And Thursday, an Ellen makeover twist. Viewers choose a whole new look for Ellen.
Bring it on! Come on!
with Bob Newhart and music by Clay Aiken. And Friday, it's Ellen's Finding Nemo show, an entire show done completely underwater.
Put some sand in my mouth.
Dive in with Dory and the cast of the biggest movie of the year on The Ellen DeGeneres Show.
The Ellen DeGeneres Show, today at 3 on 9 News.
Hey, Kirk, what are you doing?
Kim, I'm writing a jingle about 4 o'clock at 9 News, airing right after Ellen DeGeneres. Okay, listen. Today, after Ellen, we are telling all the news you need to know, and whether it's snowing or not. Watch 9 News, 4 o'clock, because we're telling you the news after Ellen.
Why? I like it, but before the big finish, you need the announcer to say, watch the Ellen DeGeneres Show at 3, followed by 9 News at 4.
After Ellen, after Ellen, after... This will never make it on the air.
Yeah, good luck with that.
KNRC Market Watch.
Stocks still trending lower. All three averages are negative. The Dow's down 50 points. Walmart will begin its move to marking products in its stores with radio frequency identification tags in Texas in 2005. Information Week magazine said the retailer met this week with 128 companies which supply goods to those stores. Shares of Manhattan Associates, just one company which makes RFID tags, up 3% today. Things getting warm at Kraft Foods. The company is cooperating with the Securities and Exchange Commission. Kraft says it could be sued for helping the Fleming companies make its sales to Kraft look better than they perhaps were. Shares of Kraft are down 29 cents. Friday can't get here soon enough for optimistic economists at UBS Securities, who looked at a strong report on the service sector of the economy today and now expect the Labor Department to report Friday. Employers added 125,000 jobs last month. Watching Wall Street, Dow Jones Industrials down 51, NASDAQ off 8. I'm Frank Barnico in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150. We hear you. 303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
1241 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and we've been talking about this Convention Bureau story. The head of it, the director, got fired last night. I don't see exactly why, going by the print reporting, but Channel 7's Tony Kovaleski is with us, and it was his reporting, yours and the team's, Tony?
Yes.
That broke the story, and he is vigorously disagreeing with me. So are you going to have more on this story?
Enid, we are continuing to follow as things develop. And let me begin by saying thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak with you and your listeners, because it's such an important issue, and it's important to keep the issue on track and not get sidetracked on the strip club issue, because although it's interesting to look at and it's certainly something that people talk about, the real issue here is the public accountability for millions of tax dollars that has never happened until we did our report.
Well, that part is good, but we don't know if there are any irregularities yet, and we don't know where the weenie is yet. But what it sounds like in the print reporting, not I can't speak to the television reporting here,
you're
is that he got
the wrong channel. Obviously, we need to change that.
Okay. All right, let's go to the phones. Kathy calling from Longmont. Hi, you're live with Enid and Tony. Channel 7's Tony Kovaleski on AM 1150 KNRC. Hi, Kathy.
Enid. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Kathy.
You know, I was very disturbed by this story, too, Enid. And, Tony, I have two questions. One, when you asked in April to see the records for the public accountability, did you then ask the director to see those records as well?
The director meaning Mr. Dilbeck? Or
no, the gentleman higher up that fired him now.
My understanding, we met with Mr. Dilbeck, and we met with legal counsel from the Convention Visitors Bureau.
Okay, so
I've been told you didn't go to the next step
and ask the higher-up person himself whether he was denying your access to those records.
Kathy, may I finish? I'm told that after they met with us, they met with the entire board, and as board decision, which included Mr. Eisenberg, was not to open its records, not to be accountable to you and other taxpayers for this
right.
money.
And does Mr. Eisenberg say that he denied you access to those records?
He is part of the board. The entire board made the decision.
So let me jump in here now. So then Eisenberg, Dilbeck did not hide this request from the board. Once you came to him, he now shares it with the board. The board says we're not going to open up our records to Channel 7 or anybody else, apparently.
Correct.
And Eisenberg signs on to that decision, and now Eisenberg is firing Dilbeck because Dilbeck isn't keeping him informed? I don't get that.
I have another question real quick. And, Tony, when you interviewed Eisenberg and said, what's your policy about strip clubs, did you already know about the event?
Oh, yes, I did.
Okay, so rather than asking an upfront question saying, your group had an event, what do you think about it, You set him up to be embarrassed in public. You set this man up to be fired as a scapegoat. I think it's irresponsible, and Channel 7 will definitely hear from me, because there are two things right here that just say that this man is being hung out as a way for these other people to save face, and you set that in motion in order to get your story. It's not impressive, and it's not good journalism. It's embarrassing for Denver.
Kathy, I hear your anger, and I hear your frustration.
It's a common thread with Channel 7. You guys try to create a story. This man's reputation, his whole life, is ruined. And if there's no impropriety in the books, are you going to do a public apology for letting him lose his job for your story?
Kathy, let me take a question point by point. You first said that it was bad journalism because I set up Mr. Eisenberg. Okay. I asked Mr. Eisenberg policy questions about
right.
the board.
Right, knowing.
Policy,
knowing,
let me finish it.
No, you could have been upfront with him, Tony. You could have said, there was an event 10 days ago. What is your policy on that? He could have still been adamantly against it, but you set him up to be humiliated, which made him have to go back and fire somebody, or else it's going to be him. This isn't rocket science. You set this up so you would have the good video, and it's offensive. And are you going to apologize to this man if he's done nothing wrong in 10 years and you've lost his career and his reputation? That's all I'm asking.
Okay. I'm going to go point by point again, Kathy. You said I set Mr. Eisenberg up. The fact of the matter is, policy questions don't change based on what you know or what you don't know. You have a policy in place. Mr. Eisenberg, whether he knew about the event that I was talking about or not, his answer should not have changed, because it's a policy question, not an opinion question. Policy of the board that he stated, and he didn't just state it in a quiet voice, he stated it in a strong, stern voice.
Is it true that
policy that no event at a strip club is acceptable in Denver Metro?
Was he on camera when you asked him that question?
Yes, he was. He asked
well,
the question.
You did. You had an ace in your pocket, Tony. And also, isn't Eisenberg's term up like in 2 seconds?
Well,
isn't he finished in like the end of the week or something? Very quickly here.
I don't understand why that's an issue. The
but I'm no. I'm just asking as just a simple point of information. Doesn't his position here end as a matter of course? What, at the end of this week or something?
Mr. Dilbeck's anniversary is coming up at the end of this week.
No. Eisenberg. Isn't his term up?
I'm not aware of that fact, if it is. But let me go to Kathy's second point about the apology. Oh, I did not fire Eugene Dilbeck yesterday. 40 leaders of Denver's community met behind closed doors, evaluated the facts, and voted and made a decision. It has been clear to us.
That's why Channel 7 has the reputation it has, Tony.
A reputation we have.
Are you going to report that this man did a stellar job and was fired due to the communication error? Are you going to report that story, too? That's what I'm asking you. If he's done a great job and there's no impropriety, and frankly, they just didn't feel like you were, you know, he didn't make that decision. The board made that decision. You went after him. I'm asking you, if his books are stellar, are you going to report that too, or is that not going to come up?
You're linking two issues that are not accurate and not conclusive. One issue is that he was fired because of his failure to communicate, and our story was the final example in his failure to communicate.
He failed to communicate.
I didn't fire him, the board did. Issue number two.
The board?
Whether the books come back clean or not clean is not the issue. You have $17 million tax dollars in the past 3 years that
you're
this board has been able to spend.
That's a problem. I'll tell you bottom line, and then I'll let
Kathy,
you know.
I don't think I'm going to convince you, and I respect that. You can
well,
have an opinion different than mine.
Well, let me tell you what I find with Channel 7, okay?
Okay.
Tony?
Go ahead.
I'll tell you, my issue with Channel 7 is this exact thing, is that you all create this issue about tax dollars until we don't know that he did anything. You had other avenues to get those records. You
I did not.
Let me finish.
Where did I have other avenues, Kathy?
Go to court to get the avenues under the public records. I don't care what you do, Tony, but the bottom line is, this is every time I hear a news story from 7, like Perugia making a big brouhaha about the biking to work deal and that the city bought $2,000 worth of donuts. You guys are freaking people out about stuff.
And Mr. Perugia's reporting on the Air Force Academy, would you put that in the same category?
I'm talking about tax dollars. How you have thrown out there that there's $17 million worth of tax dollars. People think they're unaccounted for. People
assume they were unaccounted for, Kathy. That's the fact.
We don't know yet. We don't know that yet.
No, the auditor has admitted that there hasn't been an audit city in decades.
Let me
finish the audit before you go out there and ruin a man's reputation and his life.
Kathy, we're going to leave it there. I thank you for the call. Tony, I'm afraid we're going to have to leave it there. We're going to have to take a break. But I do have to, I think Kathy brings up some really legitimate points, and that is the board decided with Dilbeck not to reveal the books to you guys. Whether that was a wise decision or not, the board agreed with him, so they were all on the same page. And where I would just say, not having been there, looking only at the print reporting, I haven't seen your piece on it. I would say that everybody.
I'm going to go to our website and look at our story.
I will do that. But I would say that they were.
DenverChannel.com.
Okay. What is it again? Give it to us.
DenverChannel.com.
Okay. So.
Watch the entire story.
All right. But I would say that they were embarrassed. Eisenberg was blindsided. And I think that's. And I think Dilbeck was the scapegoat here. Now, if there was something else going on where there was a history of bad blood, a history of politics, a history of whatever, but Elber Wedgeworth was quoted as saying that he did wonderful things as head of the Convention Bureau, that he brought in a lot of business, and he was responsible for a lot of economic boosting to Denver.
Council President Wedgeworth was behind closed doors when they made that decision yesterday. She was a voting member, and...
And how did she vote?
We don't know. It happened behind closed doors, but I know everybody, from what we've been told, had an opportunity to make their pitch, and 40 leaders of this community sat behind closed doors and said it was time for Mr. Dilbeck to end his employment.
I've got a lot of question marks about it, Tony, but I will be looking forward to seeing
the messenger.
Well, I'm going to be looking forward to seeing more of how the story develops and more of what you're doing at Channel 7. And you have any other pieces scheduled to air?
We have a story on TV tonight, Enid, that I would welcome you to watch at 10 o'clock.
On the 10 o'clock news.
We're taking a look at nightclubs and nightclub safety in the wake of what happened in Rhode Island last February.
All right. Tony Kovaleski, tonight, Channel 7, 10 o'clock. Thanks very much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you for the time, and please call anytime.
All right. Thank you. And likewise, as he did today, that was a surprise. We didn't expect that. But see, this is what happens when you're doing really interesting talk. Well, we hope it's really vibrant talk radio. That's what we try for. But I still think that this guy, I think my vote goes with Kathy. I think this guy was made an example and his career is in tatters. And if they find out that there were no accounting irregularities here, they're not going to put the genie back in the bottle, are they? I mean, they're not going to give the guy his job back. How's he going to get another job doing this when he was canned in such a public way in Denver? And for what? Failure to communicate? I'm not getting this exactly. This story still seems very murky to me. 303-382-1150, and I think a lot of people folded on this story. They got really scared. That's what I think. Unless there's a whole other deal that went on with this guy and the board, and then this is just the straw that broke the camel's back. But it will emerge. I mean, Goldstein, why don't they do an investigative report about whether Owens and this girlfriend that he's allegedly got is actually, if they're wiggling around in the governor's mansion? I would like to see that particular investigative report. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Some stations brag about serving 35 states. We're proud to serve Denver. Local radio. AM 1150 KNRC.
Here at Airborne Command Headquarters, we get hundreds of letters, some worthy of Chaucer, some not. But one thing they all agree on, they all love Airborne, the wonderful product created by a school teacher who was sick of catching colds in class. Now, what kind of kook writes in to praise a product, you ask? Hey, man, we're talking Airborne, the effervescent health formula that you drop in water and it tastes great. Airborne is a miracle cold remedy, writes Julie Wendt. Finally, a cure for the common cold, says Alec McMurdo. Do these sound like kooks to you? Of course not. So take Airborne. It's really good. Yeah.
Hi, this is Victoria Knight McDowell. I'm a second grade teacher, and I developed the dietary supplement Airborne because I was sick of catching colds in class. When you feel that first cold symptom, won't you please give Airborne a try? Thank you.
Find Airborne Natural Cold Remedy at Walgreens, Rite Aid, CVS, Longs, Brooks, Duane Reade, and Trader Joe's. Ask for Airborne, baby.
Buying a car can be confusing, so it's important to make smart choices. GMAC and AFSA, the American Financial Services Association, have created Your Pathway to Vehicle Financing, a special program to educate consumers about credit, budgeting, and knowing their options when financing or leasing a vehicle. GMAC wants everyone to feel comfortable with their financial decisions. To learn more, visit YourPathwayToVehicleFinancing.com, created by AFSA Education Foundation with underwriting support from GMAC.
The
KNRC Community Commitment.
Ever wonder if there are businesses out there who believe in old-fashioned ethics? The kinds of businesses that treat customers with respect and value employees? Join the Denver Boulder Better Business Bureau to honor the best of the best at the prestigious 2003 Torch Awards Luncheon on Friday, November the 7th at Invesco Field at Mile High. For information about individual tickets or corporate tables, call Carol Short at the Better Business Bureau at 303-996-3990.
Get your baking bag for just $7.99 at Albertsons. It's pre-filled with baking ingredients to help make your life a little easier during the holidays. Pick up yours today. Albertsons, helping make your life easier.
Talk to Dominic and Bill.
So I hired his housekeeper, and she came over to look at the house today, and she was just great. She's going to come every Tuesday, but she's starting tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
To help me out. And she seems really, really nice. This is my problem. I can't say her name.
What?
She's coming tomorrow. Now, she told me her name was Blanca before she left, but you know
Blanca.
Me. Now I will never remember that name.
No, you never will.
No. Well, I'll be looking at her and going, Brittany.
No, think of Blanca.
Dominic and Bill, weeknights from 6 to 9 on AM 1150 KNRC.
Line up with you. Join me every weeknight from 9 to midnight here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
1255 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. And this is what's so great about local programming. And this is why you should not be listening to Walmart across the way, where that old gas bag who's in rehab, that oxy-laden, oxy-addled guy, you know, we feel sorry for him, but not that much. That show is old, and here we are talking about local issues, and I'm talking about the Channel 7 story that leads to Eugene Dilbeck's firing last night, and I'm not seeing the weenie anywhere. And lo and behold, Tony Kovaleski, who's the reporter on that story, calls in to talk about it. He's hoping to set me straight, and Kathy really gave him a good run for his money. I thought Kathy's points were very well taken. And I want to see how this story comes out, whether there are accounting irregularities. You know, accounting is such a malleable thing. You can create profits where none exist. You can create irregularities if you want to justify a decision. And there's a lot of gray area in the world of accounting, as we found out with Arthur Anderson and Enron. So I don't know what the accounting is going to reveal, but I think that this guy got fired, unless there's more to the story, unless he's alienated people for a long period of time for a lot of other reasons. If it's just this, it's because they felt embarrassed being blindsided by a Channel 7 story that really didn't reveal, other than that the books were not open for public scrutiny. What did it reveal exactly? 303-382-1150. Larry on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. How are you today?
Good, thanks.
A couple of things. I did want to comment on the convention center thing. And also, did you get my email yesterday on Bush's accomplishments?
Yes, I've gotten that email before from a lot. The Bush resume?
Yeah, the Bush resume.
Yeah, I've gotten that from a lot of people.
Good,
thank
good,
you.
Good. Okay. As far as this thing is concerned, it sounds like Tony from Channel 7 was out looking for scumbag behavior. The problem that I see is that he engaged in it. It's, I think, the lady...
Oh, wait a minute. Let me see if I've got this right. The very behavior that he was alleging of somebody else, behavior, you're accusing Tony Kovaleski of engaging.
No, I'm not accusing him of doing, you know, being out in a titty bar or something like that. I'm accusing him of using... as the lady earlier indicated, some pretty scumbag tactics and to get a story.
Well, it makes it sound like there's more to it, like there's a lot of smoke here, but I want to know where's the weenie. There's a lot of smoke.
Well,
it sounds okay, we got a strip club and there's an after-hours event. Well, let's look at it.
What?
It's a legitimate business. They are a legitimate member. They pay taxes. They're a member of the Convention Bureau. A lot of conventioners face it. They come here, they can't wait to get away from their spouses, and they can't wait to run over to the strip clubs and, you know, do whatever they do over there. So here's an after-hour events. And as far as the print reporting goes, no public monies are alleged to have been used. Some employees went. Dilbeck himself did not go. And it sounds like he informed his bosses originally that Seven wanted access to those public records or the accounting or the books, and the board sided with Dilbeck and it wasn't made available. Now, if the city hasn't exercised its oversight and looked at those books in a while, is it Dilbeck's fault? Should he have been fired for that?
No, I don't think it is at all. sounds like everybody's implicated here, and he's a scapegoat.
He's a scapegoat, and also what Eisenberg and the board apparently didn't like is when Channel 7 knew that people had gone to an after-hours event, and they said, do you have a policy about this? And Eisenberg said, yes, and then now he looks silly, and the cameras are rolling. I think they're angry, and I think that's the other reason why Dilbeck got offed.
Oh, sure, sure. But, you know, as far as Channel 7 is concerned, their scumbag behavior in all of this is something that is pretty suspect.
We're going to leave it there, Larry. We're out of time in this hour. Thank you for the call. Two more hours of Enid coming right up. Sorry I couldn't get to your call, Scott. If you hang on, we'll talk to you in the next hour. We'll be talking more about this, and there's more to consider as we continue. More on the Reagan series at CBS Pulled. Lots more, and it's juicy. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150.
KNRC 1150.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 1 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Cloudy, 31 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Riceland Rice and Safeway. Denver Mayor John Hickenlooper has followed through on a campaign promise. He made the announcement today across the street from City Hall.
We're going to reduce parking meter rates to $1 an hour in the Golden Triangle, in downtown, and on Colfax. And that'll be the day after Thanksgiving.
Hickenlooper says that same day he'll begin a one-year trial of free downtown parking on Sundays. He's also instituted a parking ticket amnesty program that'll be in effect from November 12th through the end of the year. That program seeks to address the matter of more than $45 million in unpaid parking tickets. Voters were in the mood to say no in yesterday's voting. Two-thirds of the state's voters turned down Referendum A, which would have put $4 billion in Governor Bill Owens' hands for water storage. Attorney General Ken Salazar, who was opposed to the referendum, says he disagrees with those who characterize this ballot measure as a battle between Front Range and Western Slope interests.
The people of the West Slope as well as the East Slope recognize that we need to share resources and we need to grow together. And we can't be doing things on the East Slope that are going to negatively affect the Western Slope. Our futures are intertwined.
Voters also said no to Amendment 33, which was designed to put gambling machines in 5 area dog tracks. Proponents of the amendment said that up to $25 million annually would be spent on tourism promotion. But amendment foe John Dill says this amendment had nothing to do with helping Colorado tourism.
It says that the voters of Colorado were not fooled for one single solitary second by this big bucks campaign by the Wembley Corporation to convince people this is about tourism.
And while you can still be peaceful in Denver, the city won't be paying for it. 68% of Denver voters said no to the proposed ordinance that would have required the city to pipe mellow music into public buildings, improve the quality of school lunches, and provide free massages, all in an effort to reduce stress in the city. Denver City Councilman Charlie Brown says if this measure had passed, Denver's national image would have taken a huge hit.
You can't put a price on being the laughing stock of the country and making the Jay Leno show and, you know, and everybody making fun of Denver, because businesses don't want to come to a city where city taxpayers are could be paying for free massages in city parks.
There were some yeses in yesterday's votings. Voters in Greeley and in Summit County said yes to smoking bans. However, a smoking ban in Pueblo went up in smoke as voters there voted down that proposal. One of Denver's biggest holiday feasts of the year is just weeks away, and the host needs your help. It's the Thanksgiving banquet at the Denver Rescue Mission, and spokeswoman Greta Ritchie is going to send out a call for your help.
Denver Rescue Mission is in need of 4,000 turkeys for our Great Thanksgiving Banquet by Wednesday, November 26th. We'll be feeding 1,000 needy and homeless people that day, as well as giving out 750 food boxes to needy families so that they can have the Great Thanksgiving that everybody deserves.
Richie says any size turkey will do just fine. You can drop it off at the mission anytime, day or night. It's located at 23rd and Lawrence. The man believed to be the nation's most prolific serial killer is heading to prison. Gary Ridgway entered guilty pleas today to 48 murders in a King County, Washington courtroom. As part of a plea deal reached with prosecutors, the so-called Green River serial killer will serve life in prison with no possibility of parole. He terrorized the Pacific Northwest for 2 decades. Ridgway was first arrested in November 2001. At the time, he pleaded not guilty, but he changed his plea recently after weeks of leading police to sites of the victim's remains. President Bush has signed legislation banning so-called partial birth abortions. Bush called the procedure a terrible form of violence directed at children.
Protecting innocent new life from this practice reflects the compassion and humanity of America.
The ban imposes the first federal limit on abortion since the U.S. Supreme Court confirmed a woman's constitutional right to end her pregnancy in 1973. Opponents of the ban complain that the legislation does not contain exemptions to protect the health and life of a woman. That's the rationale that former President Bill Clinton cited when he vetoed the legislation twice. Constitutional court challenges have already been filed. Day 6 of the preliminary hearing for Scott Peterson has been postponed until tomorrow. The proceeding was put on hold because Peterson's lawyer Mark Garagos is still in Los Angeles tending to another trial. Once the hearing resumes, the prosecution says it will call two of the Modesto Police Department detectives who investigated the case. In sports, the Denver Nuggets will be in Cleveland tonight to take on the Cavaliers. It'll be the first meeting since high school for top draft picks Carmelo Anthony of the Nuggets and LeBron James of the Cavaliers. So far this season, the Nuggets are even at 2-2, while the Cavs have lost all three games that they've played so far. Preparing meals at home can be fast and easy when Riceland Rice is the main ingredient. Start out right with a great taste of Riceland Rice, available at Safeway. Safeway, giving our best. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 105.
Advance Auto Parts.
No one's ever ready for car trouble. Good thing Advance Auto Parts is ready. From headlights to taillights and every part in between, Advance has the name brands you trust. Monroe, Bendix, AC Delco, Autocraft, and many more. All in stock at ready-to-go low prices. You may not be ready for car trouble, but we will be. So bring it on. We're ready in Advance.
For the best.
Bicycling, soccer, baseball, skiing, wrestling, rollerblading, basketball, snowboarding, football, skateboarding. What do they all have in common? Plastic protective gear to help keep your kids safe. Now, you could always just put them in a bubble, a plastic bubble, of course, but we wouldn't recommend it. Plastics make it possible. The American Plastics Council.
KNRC News Time is 106. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by the 17 John Elway Showrooms. Westbound I-70 at C-470, we had a bit of a problem due to a semi that lost its trailer, so watch for that. Westbound I-70 right past Fast Kedge, you'll see a bit of a problem due to a stall as well. Trying to clear up an accident with injuries, Alameda at Knox Court. At all John Elway showrooms, you can get a brand new 2004 vehicle, but priced like a 2003. No, you're not hearing things. Get 2004 cars and trucks for 2003 prices only at John Elway. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Going to be a very cold day today as we only top out around 34 and we could find a few pockets of freezing drizzles, light chance of a snow shower, lots of clouds and fog. And as we head into tonight, still going to be cloudy with fog, a low of 21. Then finally the clouds break after Thursday morning, should turn partly cloudy up to 41 degrees. And temperatures get closer to average Friday. They do get warmer, partly sunny with a high near 50. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's cloudy, 31 degrees. KNRC News Time is 107. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 135 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
And now, the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
107, 7 minutes after 1 o'clock. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. It's gloomy out there, but it's not gloomy in here. It's hot in here, hot, hot, hot. And let me just reprise what we've been talking about. And also, our own Hubcap Annie, who's been a guest on this program. She's been an advertiser, too. Guess what? She was listed in the New York Times, of all things. And they were listing all kinds of... hot things. And in the world of automotive accessories, it said having the newest, shiniest rooms is de rigueur. But they talk about her, Jane Withers, an automotive entrepreneur of Denver, selling a new style to roll with, retro hubcaps. She's got nearly 40,000 wheel covers of almost every car brand imaginable, including some that aren't even made anymore, like DeSoto, Rolls Royce. She said the store is a tourist attraction, thanks to the off-the-wall decor, which she describes as a cross between a whorehouse and a county fair, and which is which. Withers also maintains a hubcap collection of nearly 300 classic caps currently for sale, hopefully to a cultural institution for $20,000. You can call her at 303-399-2277. Congratulations, Hubcap Annie. You get Gold Star in the New York Times. That's pretty good. If you're just tuning in, here's what we've been talking about. We have been talking about a lot of things. One of them is the lack of really good investigative reports. reporting, and that dovetails into something I want to get into. But this is a November sweeps period. You have Channel 7 doing a story about the Convention Bureau, which to me is a lot of smoke, and I don't know if there's a weenie in there. They, of course, maintain that there is, and Tony Kovaleski, apparently listening, or somebody else might have tipped him off. He was listening to the show, and he called in to defend the reporting that they were doing to say that really the story was about how the Convention Bureau was not opening their books to Channel 7 and therefore to the public, and the board signed off on this, apparently, and now, for some reason, there hasn't been any accounting oversight or not much transparency. And it looks like that will change, but we don't know if there are any accounting irregularities. We don't know if anything was really wrong. What we do know is the director of the Bureau, who many people said had done a great job, he has been fired. And I think he was largely fired because the board and everybody felt blindsided. Now, we have other stories around. We have other stories that I don't see. I'm not saying. Eric, one of our listeners said, you know, you have Brian Maas doing the story on how the truant officers are truant themselves, and now Channel 9's got a story that they're airing on park and rec workers playing basketball, engaging in a lot of recreational activities when they're supposed to be on the clock. But what about the stories about the big people, the Governor Owenses of this world, who are screwing us left and right in probably more subtle ways? And for some reason, we're not seeing those stories either in the newspaper. We're not seeing very many of those stories anywhere, and certainly we're not seeing them on television. And so what our listener Eric, who emails me frequently and who calls the show, says, how about the big, these are nickel and dime stories, he's saying, about city workers on the public dime doing their own personal business or doing nothing at all except having long lunches and working out. That's an old story. It's almost become a cliche. We always like to see it again. But still in all, what about the big stories where we are really getting screwed? Is it too subtle for television or newspapers? It's very expensive to do investigative reporting. And I bring this up because a couple of things. First of all, I heard a rumor, and I hear it from a very credible source. You have Governor Owens, a man who ran on family values. He and his wife engaged in a trial separation. Remember, I said early on, she had to have finally had enough because if that marriage comes to an end, it really puts the brakes on his political career, at least for the moment, if not for longer. So the wife had to have gotten fed up. And the rumors we're hearing now is that there is another woman. She's an attorney and younger and possibly a staff member. I don't know. But anyway, there is another woman is the rumor I'm hearing about Governor Owens. Would it be a story if he didn't run on family values? I think it would, these days, post-Clinton, definitely. And more of a story that he has run on family values. And the new media critic for the Rocky, I think his name's Michael Tracy, has said early on when the trial separation was announced that he owes us an explanation. Was there anything adulterous going on here, Governor Owens? Well, the rumors are that he has got that there's a lot of wiggle-wiggle going on at the governor's mansion, and it's not with Mrs. Owens. Those are the rumors. Why aren't we seeing anything about it in the press? And the story that I want to get to as well, circulation. It was announced today in the Rocky Mountain News that circulation has fallen both at the News and at the Post. So their numbers are down. Their circulation figure, it means that fewer people are reading the Denver Post and the Rocky Mountain News. Why? And what could they do to bring back an audience? What do they have to do to make those papers hotter than they already are? What would you, if you were sitting around trying to revivify the Post and the Rocky, I have some ideas about it, what I would do, but I haven't really thought about it. These are just off the top of my head, and I'll share some of those with you. But I want you to think about this. Put your thinking caps on. If you were the head of both, if you're the publisher of both the Denver Post and the Rocky Mountain News, you could wave a magic wand and change those papers any way you wanted. What would you do to increase the readership of those papers, to increase the circulation? What would you do to make them better newspapers, in other words? I mean, all right, you could probably increase the circulation by making them free publications. Then everybody would take them, and then I don't think the audit bureaus, they're not part of that whole process. But that aside, giving it away for free, what would you do substantively to make those papers, better newspapers, to increase the readership of both the Denver Post and the Rocky Mountain News? Assuming you could do anything, what would you do? 303-382-1150. I will tell you how I would begin, one way. I would certainly redesign the Post. I think the typography is really hard. It doesn't bring you right in. The Rockies typography, the design, I would redesign the Post. The Rockies photography and typography, I think, are great. It's a tabloid. It brings you right in. I love the crispness of it, just the way it looks. It's very crisp. The post looks like it's going to be wordy, and it's going to be hard to get through it. I don't know why, but for me, that's just visually, that's just how it reads. And I think that the photography is a lot more crisp. It's almost like museum quality. They crop it. It's more dramatic in the Rocky. So that brings me right in. I would talk about the quality of the writing. I would talk about investigative reporting. Let's go to the phones and to Dan in Littleton. Dan, hi.
Hello, Alive.
Hi, how are you?
Well, I'll answer your question even though I wasn't planning to, but I would make less of these little airhead fresh out of journalism school stories and ones with more bite, like I tried to sell Tony Kovaleski, but he thought Beck was more important.
Why? What did you try to sell him on?
Well, see, you know, before Columbine, before you got here and all this stuff,
yeah,
there was another shooting massacre in Jefferson County at an Albertsons store where this guy went and bought a 50 caliber rifle that your favorite senator, Dianne Feinstein, has made a bill after, the banned 50 caliber rifles.
Mm-hmm.
But he shot his wife and the store manager whom he suspected of having an affair. His name was Albert.
But don't give me the names. But all right. So okay.
Well, he's
so
dead now. He killed himself.
Okay. So
jail.
He. All right. So so tell me quickly because we have a board full of calls.
Quickly was we got a big problem. Bill Clinton's mentioned it, but people think when they do background checks, these CBI background checks to buy guns,
mm-hmm,
that the guns are getting checked. They're not. You could still be buying a stolen gun. Now, unfortunately, your friends on the left, they want to go a little too far, Enid, and life is a lot of compromises. Some people think it's an evil word, but there is a more sensible way we can do this. You know, you ever done Carfax.com?
No, I haven't. But all right, so are you telling me that what has to happen is we have to do a background check on the gun as well as on the person buying the gun?
Yeah, but law enforcement won't release to FFL dealers or individuals, like you can find on Carfax, like about a vehicle's history, they won't tell you if a gun's stolen or not.
Why?
Because they want to be there with it in their possession. And that's not possible. They can't even cover the crimes they got now. But we keep telling them that we could help them maybe clear up some crimes if they would make this stuff available online, just like Carfax does with motor vehicle histories.
Well, I think you've got to sell it to somebody. You keep calling news outlets. Did you call the news outlets?
I've talked to Cohen, Tony, others in this town, and you know, I sang about criminals getting guns before Columbine. I was out there.
Right.
I was kicked out of the shows before that.
All right, here's what I want you to do, Dan. Get together some information and send it over to me.
Okay, I know your email address.
Okay, so just send me a bunch of information. I would rather have it in physical form rather than as an attachment because there are too many viruses and stuff. So why don't you just put a bunch of stuff in an envelope, but don't overload me.
You mean snail mail it?
Snail mail it, that's right, but don't overload me. Make it very succinct.
Tell me what it is.
All right, and tell me what you've got, and let me look it over.
Okay.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. 303-382-1150. Scott, thank you so much for waiting.
Calling from
Englewood. Fine.
Hey, you were asking why not go after Owens and his rumored affair. You know, people in power are just better at covering up what they're doing. They're sneakier, you know. Westward.
Yeah, but what we need to have is some really good investigative reporting. It's expensive, and I think that that's one of the things. If you knew that when you picked up your newspaper, you would find some juicy scandal being outed, I think you'd be more inclined to read your newspaper every day.
Well, that could be, but you know, like Westward ran a story on Romer's affair with B.J. Thornberry when all they had were rumors to go on, and they got totally hammered on it, and of course it turned out to be true. But they just didn't have it nailed down. I mean, people, it's pretty easy to catch parks workers because, you know, frankly, they're probably not as smart as people in politics. Whereas people who have spent their life in politics know how to cover their behavior. It's just plain harder.
Well, and also I think they're relying on a press that's busy sniffing out easier stories to get. And a press that is, at times, at least when it comes to covering Iraq, far more compliant than it should have been.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely true. You know, I got to say, I think Channel 7 did a public service with covering the Convention Bureau story. I mean, I certainly
Yeah, but what happened? What did they cover? The Convention Bureau didn't open its books. Okay, so let's open the books and see. But for somebody to get fired over that when the board signed on to it, I don't know if that's enough reason to fire somebody, unless there's more to the story.
Well, I don't think the board should have. I think maybe more members of the board should have resigned. But the fact is, when you're a public face of a board like Dilbeck, you know you stand the chance of being the being thrown overboard.
All right, we're going to leave it there, and thanks for the call, Scott. 303-382-1150, Ernie on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Ernie.
Oh, it's Bernie.
Yeah, hi.
It's Bernie.
Oh, Bernie, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're welcome. Sorry, Bernie.
Enid, thanks a lot.
Yeah.
You asked about the news and the Post.
Yes.
I'm an Easterner.
Yes.
And I come out here, I can't read those two newspapers. I subscribe to them. It's an anachronism. It's a city paper. It's a small town paper in a town that has grown and outgrown those two newspapers. For example, you're talking about the Owen thing.
Yeah.
They will never cover that. They will never put it on the front page.
Why?
Because they have to cater to Owen.
They have to do
the politically correct thing to do.
They have to do business with him.
They have to do business with it. And you know what? I subscribe to the Post, the Washington Post. I subscribe to the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal.
How do you get the Washington Post? You must get it late then, if it comes.
I get it late.
How many days late does it come?
I get it usually 3 days late.
You know, you can look at it online.
Well, I know, but I do look at some things online because I listen to C-SPAN, and when the Post covers an article, I jump online and I'm able to do it after I finish watching the C-SPAN.
But why do you want to read it 3 days later at the Washington Post?
Well,
is it still good?
I want to read the material. The host usually just covers a paragraph and just doesn't delve into it, and I want to see where it's coming from. I want to see the whole story. I don't like to jerk things out of context, so I do that. And the Times I get every day, so I don't have a problem with that. But I do also get the News, and I get the Post. And the paper is a rag.
All right. Now, if I were to ask you, put on your since you're a newspaper connoisseur, I get the Post every. I get the Post. I get the Rocky. I get the New York Times, and I get the Wall Street Journal every day. Those are delivered to me. Let me ask you, put your thinking cap on. If you were going to improve the Post and the Rocky, how would you do it? What would you begin with?
You mentioned investigative reporting. They have to do follow-through. They have to put it on the front page. I'm not interested. I am interested on the inside pages of what's happening in Lakewood with a woman and her neighbor or with some important subject that may involve residents of a community. When I see the major paper in a market such as Denver is, I want to see a topical issue based upon world events. That's what I want to see first. I want to know what's happening in the stock market. I want to know what's happening, a major issue that's happening in
Washington. But these are local newspapers, so you're not going to get, unless the national story has local implications, more than likely, you're probably going to get more of a local story on the front page than you will a national story.
But this town has become a cosmopolitan town. People are here from California, from Arizona, from New York, and I like to see the local news. But I want to see world news now.
Well, all right, now I'm going to play devil's advocate here. Dave Magoya did a wonderful series of a wonderful investigative piece for the Post that went on and on and on about a year ago, on the Greeley, on ConAgra, on the beef that was contaminated. I thought that was a wonderful piece of reporting.
That's great. You know what? And I'd like to see it on in the B section. I don't want, or part of it in the A section. I want to read the editorial. I want the editorial to be able to comment on world events instead of just local events.
Okay.
And I'm not denigrating the editors and the editorial editors. I'm just saying that from my point of view, I came here from New York where all of my life I saw papers that were the major newspapers in America. Denver has grown, you know.
All right, so I get your point, Bernie. We're going to have to leave it there, and I thank you for the call. Here's what I would say. Put your thinking caps on. Here is the circulation falling at both the Post and the News, the Denver Post and the Rocky Mountain News. Circulation is falling. Now, I don't know whether the hits on the website have increased. Is it that younger readers are simply not, first of all, they're looking online rather than reading the physical newspaper? Is it that they're simply not interested in the news? Is that it? What would it do to bring in, what would both papers have to do to bring in more readers? I would say a couple of things off the top of my head. Better writing. hot writing. One of the best written newspapers is the Wall Street Journal. And I think the style section of the Washington Post is lots of fun to read. So more hot writing would do it. More investigative reporting would do it. I would redesign the typography. I would redesign the paper, the Denver Post. I would a typography that would be more user-friendly, bring you into a story. I would do more, as I said, investigative reporting. And I think there would be more stuff here that's playful, although I don't exactly know how that translates. But one of the ways that the San Francisco Chronicle restored itself and revivified itself when it really fell in hard times, and this is quite a while ago, is that there's a real playfulness in San Francisco. And boy, they really cater to it. I mean, they just did outrageous things. Now, Denver is much more solid and stolid a place than San Francisco, so I don't know that that would fly, but you know, some kind of creativity. What would you do to reinvent both papers? 303-382-1150. What would make you read the paper more? Think about that. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150, noon to 3, KNRC.
Locally owned, locally programmed, AM 1150, KNRC.
Classic Sinatra compiles the original definitive versions of 20 of the singer's most admired songs from his critically acclaimed Capitol Concept record period.
I've got you under my skin.
It's all on one disc.
'Cause it's witchcraft.
Classic Sinatra, now ready for the next century of listeners.
I've got the world on a string.
All tracks are 24-bit digitally remastered.
Fairy tales can come true. It can happen to you if you're young at heart.
Classic Sinatra is available at a local record store near you, courtesy of Capitol Records.
You make me feel so young. You make me feel so spring has sprung.
You know, the thing about winning awards is that you have to say award-winning this and award-winning that. And frankly, it's very tiring for a voice talent like myself.
Here's your mic high, sir.
Thanks. But just in case you didn't know, you can download clips of award-winning news features and guest interviews from our award-winning website, made by an award-winning designer featuring award-winning hosts. Well, it's true. KNRCRadio.com has it all. But if somebody at the station wins a Nobel Prize, I'm out of here.
And now, the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
1:26 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and Mayor Hickenlooper has announced that I think it's the day after Thanksgiving, which is the biggest shopping day of the year. Parking rates are going to go down to where they were before, $1 an hour, and I think that's a wonderful development, especially in a not wonderful economic environment, although it is seems to be improving. But you have merchants around, and you want to encourage people to come down to Lodo and all over the place and shop. So $1 an hour in the parking meter, I can do that. For some reason, that dollar and a half, it's only 50 cents more, but I hated that. Everybody's got price points, and they don't want to go beyond it, even if it's 10 cents, and that was mine. So I'm glad that they're doing that. I think that's smart. We're talking about how would you increase the circulation. Both have dropped of the Denver Post and the Rocky Mountain News. Weekday circulation has dropped 5% from a year ago. Saturday circulation is at a 1.6% drop. I happen to like the Saturday edition of the Rocky. I can find all kinds of good things to look at there. The Sunday paper reached more than 1.1 million readers through Saturday and 1.4 million readers on Sunday. The circulation drop was attributed to the phasing out of deeply discounted subscription prices and Colorado's ban on telemarketing calls. So they can't call you to get you to subscribe, and they were deeply discounting the subscriptions, and that has, so that's what they're attributing. What would you do to really boost circulation in those two newspapers if you were newspaper czar in town? Maybe go after some of these juicy rumors. And how come nobody's how come we're not even seeing blind items about the rumored affairs of Governor Owens with this young attorney, or whoever his? We're hearing that she's a young attorney. whoever there's a wiggle with going, wiggle in the governor's mansion, how come there are no blind items? 303-382-1150. This is a man who ran on family values. Don't you think that's a legitimate story? Earl, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Yeah, hi.
Enid, I was wondering, because you keep up on stuff and everything, I called your screener. There's a guy down in front of the Capitol building. And you know those boards with a big wheel on it that has the stick coming up, you know, and you can go forward or backward just by pushing or pulling? It's the new invention that came out.
Oh, like a Segway?
Yeah, that's what you
like
call
a scooter
it.
That you ride on?
Yeah, only it's just a platform. You stand on it with both feet?
Yeah.
Okay, this guy has one of those, and he is dressed up like Benjamin Franklin type,
uh-huh.
Only like Revolutionary War era.
Uh-huh.
And I mean decked out, a wonderful uniform. And he's got a sign around both sides of him, front and back, that says, I'm not Ted. And then he's got people with pouches that are following him that say, I'm not Ted on it also. And he's ringing a bell like a town crier.
Meaning he's not Ted who?
That's what I was wondering if you knew or any of your listeners know.
I have no
he's
idea.
He's getting quite a crowd around him down by the Capitol building.
Are you supposed to put money into his jar? Has he got some money? Has he got a
no,
money jar going?
He's actually got some people filming him, and he's got some people with some pouches, but it says, I'm not Ted. And people are starting to form around him. He's right down in front of the Capitol building.
Well, you know, now this is the kind of funny story that people ought to just go look at and have fun with in the newspaper. I haven't heard anything about it, and I haven't seen anything about it in the newspaper.
Well, that's why I called you, because, you know, I know you're from the West Coast, and you might know or just keep up on things.
Did you listen to my shows in California?
No.
Oh.
I listen to your guys' channel quite a bit.
Okay.
I like your channel. It's local and everything. And
all right.
And,
well, we're gonna. Earl, thanks for the heads up. We'll take a look at it and see
what. On that deal with Bill Owens.
Yes.
Maybe he's going to the Bill Clinton School of Politics.
Well,
and he's going to run for president.
He's
got experience.
I think a lot of. I think Bill Clinton School of Politics has got a lot. They got a waiting list on that school. Yes. Thanks, Earl. 303-382-1150. Jim on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Jim.
Enid, I want to compliment you for going after this, talking about Owens like that. But I think the newspaper issue is that it's one ownership, and they give us two newspapers. And
No. Let me clarify. It is not one ownership. These two newspapers are owned by two different entities. What they have is called a joint operating agreement, the JOA, and we have that in San Francisco. And what they do in the JOA is they share the administrative costs, I think the circulation costs. They share, if you buy a classified ad in one, it's in both. That's the kind of thing. But the ownerships are separate. Scripps Howard, as I understand it, owns the Rocky, and Dean Singleton and whatever his media group is called owns the Post.
So you're saying that these ownerships, okay, what if one leans more to the right and the other one doesn't?
Well, allegedly, wasn't the talk around town that the Rocky was always leaning more to the right and the Post leaning more to the left? But the thing is, on different issues, they surprise you.
Yeah, they do.
So I don't know if you can really make that observation.
Well, then if that's not the the case, then obviously the ownership supports local politics, and I'm saying from the top down, and they choose not to go after these things, and probably why you're never going to get those kind of articles.
Well, you listen to Enid Live, and you'll hear it all here, and we'll sort it out later. But the rumors are that Owens has got a girlfriend. And here's the story. I mean, this is a guy who ran on family values. I'm surprised people aren't sniffing around, or even if they haven't got it nailed down, I'm surprised they're not doing blind items.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
You're right.
Thanks a lot for the call. All right, what would you do to make these papers better, to get a bigger audience? And here you have a time here where CBS News is pulling the Reagan story, and it's going to go instead to Showtime, and so there's a lot of conversation about that as well. What did somebody send me something on? The next miniseries is going to be Betsy Ross, crack addict. Oh, never mind. All right, here's what Fox is going to do. Maybe what the newspaper has to do is take a page out of Fox's book. Fox, fair and balanced, right? The Fox News Channel. Many conservatives love Fox, right? Well, the entertainment division is a whole different thing entirely. And now they are developing a new reality show. And by the way, I think they canceled Skin after only three airings. And wasn't that all about the porn industry? They are doing a show called Can You Be a Porn Star? Mary Carey, who was the porn actress who ran for California governor, and if you donated $10,000 to a campaign, she would have dinner with you, but the lap dance would not be included. That would be more money. Anyway, the porn actress who ran for governor in California in the recent election is among the hosts. So you see, this is a career move. It cost her about $3,500 to file the papers. She didn't have a chance, but boy, did she get $1 zillion worth of free publicity. And even Gary Coleman got a job out of it, too, and I don't think he's been working for a while. Anyway, Mary Carey is going to be one of the hosts, joining a fellow adult film stars, Tabitha Stevens and Ginger Lynn. Now, here's my first question. Are these their real names? Secondly, are these their real attributes, or do you think that these are silicone-enhanced? Silhouette Productions announced plans to shoot 7 one-hour shows with plans to start broadcasting on a number of pay-per-view channels. It's going to be a group of 28 women who will compete for a one-year contract with a major adult video distributor and the cash prize, so they're going to have $100,000. So they're going to get a lot of people who are going to want to sign up. It's going to be an R-rated version pay-per-view. Obviously, he's the head of the chief executive officer of the production house is going to be doing it. Obviously, he says there will be outtakes that will be hardcore, which will likely turn up on DVD releases later. It is like Paradise Hotel, where they go behind the scenes. Everybody wants to know what's going on. Well, here you see it, he said, referring to the Fox Network reality series about young people who are trying to seduce each other. In each episode, 4 women arrive at a house in Los Angeles for photo shoots, interviews, and, quote, surprises. Viewers will help pick 8 finalists for a 90-minute finale. The statement promised, quote, uninhibited nudity and sizzling sexuality, while the show's official website said it would feel real, it would feature real people having real sex. Well, maybe Governor Owens could sign up for that. Pay-per-view gives us the freedom to take reality television where it has never gone before. So there's a Fox show. They're going to try and find a porn star. And if you win as the porn star du jour, you get $100,000 and I don't know, whatever else they're going to give you, probably jobs and gigs, and then they'll be able to get outtakes of all the hardcore stuff, and they'll make a DVD of it later. And that's what's cooking. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday live edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC. 1:36, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Cloudy, 32 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Albertsons. Making good on a campaign promise, Denver Mayor John Hickenlooper today announced that parking meter rates will be going down by 50 cents an hour starting the day after Thanksgiving. The mayor will also test free Sunday parking for a year starting at the same time. The flu has hit Colorado. Weber Junior High School in Fort Collins reported that 20% of their students, a whopping 186 students, called in sick on Monday. The Larimer County Department of Health tested some of the students and found that at least 2 of them have type A influenza. Following a controversy over a Denver Convention and Visitors Bureau event held at a Denver strip club, the Bureau's president has been fired. Eugene Dilbeck was given the option of resigning, but he refused, so in a closed-door session, the board of directors sacked him. The board has begun looking for Dilbeck's replacement. A 54-year-old Seattle man has pleaded guilty to 48 counts of murder, admitting that he is in fact the Green River serial killer. Despite being the most prolific serial killer in American history, prosecutors in King County, Washington have agreed to spare Gary Ridgway the death penalty in exchange for his plea agreement. President Bush has signed legislation banning procedures referred to as partial birth abortions. However, a short time later, it was blocked by a federal judge in Nebraska who issued a temporary restraining order preventing the legislation from going into effect. Microsoft is offering $250,000 rewards for information leading to the arrest and conviction of those responsible for the Blaster Worm and So Big email virus. The bugs disabled computers and tied up internet traffic worldwide in August and September. In sports, the Denver Nuggets are in Cleveland tonight to face the Cavaliers. It'll be the first time since they were in high school that top draft picks Carmelo Anthony of the Nuggets and LeBron James of the Cavs meet on the basketball court. Get your baking bag for just $7.99 at Albertsons. It's pre-filled with baking ingredients to help make your life a little easier during the holidays. Pick up yours today. Albertsons, helping make your life easier. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 1:38. chocolate and the holidays, they just go together. Kind of like chocolate and romance, chocolate and dessert, chocolate and sec. Well, Greg Dobbs here, and maybe it's just me, but I think chocolate goes well with everything. And if you agree, you may want to try a taste of the best chocolate in Denver at Fifth Avenue Chocolatier. In fact, you might want to give your holiday gifts in chocolate, the finest Belgian chocolate you can find. In the shapes you want, I've ordered some dark chocolate microphones as gifts, inscribed with my message and my name for a few lucky recipients. Imagine something representing your product or your hobby, or maybe you'd like a chocolate company logo or just a business card in succulent chocolate. Whatever you want, they can do it. And wherever you want it to go, they can safely send it. Fifth Avenue Chocolatier. You can see more about what they do at their website, denverchocolate.com. But to smell it and taste it, they've always got wonderful samples to taste. Drop by. They're not actually on Fifth Avenue. They're on Steel Street in Cherry Creek North between 2nd and 3rd. Fifth Avenue Chocolatier. Oh, it's great.
KNRC News Time is 1:39. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by the 17 John Elway Showrooms. Got an accident in the cleanup stages. Arapahoe and Holly trying to get a trailer back onto a semi at westbound I-70 at C-470. At all John Elway Showrooms, you can get a brand new 2004 vehicle, but priced like a 2003. No, you're not hearing things. Get 2004 cars and trucks for 2003 prices. Only at John Elway. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with a KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Cloudy with a slight chance of a snow shower today, some fog, maybe a few pockets of freezing drizzle, the high 34. Cloudy with fog developing for tonight as well, 21. And we'll look for clouds in the morning Thursday, then partly cloudy, 41. Gets warmer Friday, partly sunny with a high near 50. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's cloudy, 32 degrees. KNRC News Time is 1:40. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Enid Goldstein. Get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony in the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off tickets in the Parquet and Mezzanine 1 sections of Bet Your Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Pops performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music build before you. This Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the Colorado Symphony Orchestra performs Vivaldi's classic, The Four Seasons, and Mendelssohn's Scottish Symphony No. 3. That's this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, November 7th, 8th, and 9th. Tickets available at all King Supers, Tickets West outlets, and online at www.coloradosymphony.org. And to get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100.
KNRC Market Watch.
Wall Street's major indexes are off their session lows, but still trading lower. The Dow Industrials down 58 points. The NASDAQ and S&P 500 both off 5 points. Changes are in store for the New York Stock Exchange if interim chairman John Reed has his way. He's proposing replacing the 27-member board with an 8-member independent board. And you know, it's getting cheaper to buy a seat on the exchange. Reports say seats are now selling for below $1.5 million for the first time in nearly 5 years. Adidas will try to re-energize its brand in North America, the first brand campaign in 5 years. The sporting goods maker has topped quarterly profit estimates, but it did have a major slowdown in footwear and clothing orders in North America. You can read more about it on the MarketWatch.com website. Once again on Wall Street, the Dow Industrials down 58. The NASDAQ is off 5 points. I'm Steve Orr from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
303-382-1150. We hear you. 303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
1:42 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. Gloomy outside, but pretty vibrant in here. Carol sends me this email. Here's what the continuing with their successful Reimagining History series, CBS Network today announced that it will broadcast. Remember, CBS now has pulled the Reagan miniseries and they're going to lob it off onto Showtime. CBS today announced that it will broadcast Betsy Ross, Crack Whore, during next spring's sweeps period. Yeah, we know we'll probably catch some flack from the nitpickers
said CBS President Les Moonves, but like Vice President Les Moonves, but like, it, is everyone so anal these days that we always have to be 100% accurate? I mean, hello, yeah. There's not much evidence that Betsy Ross was hooked on crack, but can you prove she wasn't? Huh? I don't think so. In related news, ABC announced that it will begin production of Pimpin' John Adams with Rudy Ray Moore, starring as the second president of the United States. NBC is also believed to be close to a deal with Meg Ryan to star in Good Time Dolly, a miniseries about the sexual exploits of First Lady Dolly Madison during the free love days of the War of 1812. Thank you, Carol. That's pretty good. Okay, President Bush has signed into law this anti-abortion bill, the late-term abortion, which they call partial birth abortion. It makes it sound like someone's just about ready to be born, you know, hanging on for dear life, and then they axe them off. Well, that isn't how it happens. You're not, it's not, it's just, it's a fetus. It's like 20 weeks into the pregnancy. It's not the way it sounds. Well, guess what? Less than 1 hour after the bill was signed, a federal judge has issued limited restraining order. Let's see. President Bush signed legislation today banning that late-term abortion. And by the way, if you are a hemophiliac, if you bleed easily, this may be the only thing that can save you. And these late-term abortions are usually wanted pregnancies where something goes horribly, horribly wrong with the fetus. And it's just easier to suction it out than to do surgery. And as I said, if you're a hemophiliac, if you bleed easily, if you have other problems, this is the way that will help your health the most. Here is, after all of this long-sought victory, a federal judge at least partially blocked this new law from taking effect. So we'll see what happens there. I'll bring you more information as we have it. What we're talking about is that the circulation at both the Denver Post and the Rocky Mountain News is down. They're saying that in part it's down because you can't make the telemarketing calls to get the subscriptions up, and it's down in part because the subscriptions that were so deeply discounted have been discontinued. But if you are trying to raise the readership, make people read these newspapers, what would you do? What would you do to increase the readership is my question. I would improve the writing. I would improve the typography, the design, at least on the Post, which I think they're probably in the process of doing. Also, I just got this email from someone who asked not to be named. Enid, please don't use my last name. Okay, it's Julie then. I've not heard anyone mention that the strip club in question, this is about the Eugene Dilbeck incident where he's been fired as head of the Convention and Visitors Bureau. She said, I haven't heard anyone mention that the strip club, the Diamond Cabaret, is in fact a member in good standing of the Convention and Visitors Bureau. Well, I've been saying that all along, so Julie, listen to me. It is a legitimate business, and I heard no one complaining about the many bold-faced names who recently attended a fundraiser for prostate cancer at the Diamond Cabaret. She says, this is all about political correctness, which really makes me sick. I'm no Dilbeck fan, but the guy got screwed. I kind of think he might have, too. We'll see as the story unfolds. Greg, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey. Hello?
Hello.
Yeah, I just talked to our buddy Benjamin Franklin there at the Capitol.
Yeah, and what did he have to say?
Well, I asked him who Ted was. He said he didn't know Ted's last name, but apparently he's a philanthropist and a businessman that's coming to Denver. So that's all I got from him.
Is this like a publicity stunt for somebody who's coming?
Yeah, it seemed to be that way. Or it might have been him. He might be Ted. I don't know.
Well, all right. So it's just a publicity stunt.
Pretty much, I think so, yeah.
Well, thanks, Greg. Thanks for doing the legwork. 303-382-1150. Ann, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello, Enid. Concerning the newspapers.
Yes.
I think there would be four things that they could consider. Number one, the Post, I guess it was about 2 years ago, in their endeavor to make the size a little more manageable, they made it narrower, but it's still just as long. So you still have to stand up to read the top part of the page.
Wait, why do you have to stand up?
Well,
I don't get this.
I'm just exaggerating, of course, but I'm saying that.
Oh, it's so long, you have to stand up to see it.
Yeah.
I see. All right.
Yeah. And so then the text, I agree with you on the Denver Post. And then the size of the papers. On Sunday, it takes two men and a boy to get the paper in.
Oh, I'm telling you, the ads, well, see, this is what they love because they're making a ton of money on those ads, but my God, it takes me forever to sift through that stuff.
Well, yeah, you just have to drag the paper in if you don't have somebody to assist you.
They must be making a ton of dough.
I know Jake Jabs was really upset, you know, at the price of the advertisements. That was about a year ago. and he does a lot of.
Well, I think that Westward benefited from the JOA because a lot of people decided to advertise in Westward. It was less expensive.
Well, yeah.
Than advertising in the two papers. So they're thick with a lot of ads. A lot of them, though, are kind of the horny ads in the back of the
Well, yeah.
All right. And what else would you do to make the papers better?
Then, like I say, bigger isn't better. And it's not only just the ads. It's so much concentration on when I get my paper, I automatically sort it out. I throw so much of it down on the floor. Then get it all organized so that it doesn't take me 4.5 hours to read the paper.
What would it do? Listen, I get also the Sunday New York Times, which Sunday morning I have 50 million pounds of newspaper that I have to get through, and usually here's the secret about Sunday newspapers. A lot of Sunday paper, all the features and everything have been put to bed days before.
Oh, yeah.
They leave a news hole for Sunday. And that's what's fresh. But the rest, a lot of the features they're finished with them on Friday or so.
Yeah, so I think, and they're trying to save money. I think that instead of trying to stuff the paper full of some innocuous news that you already know about, I think the size could be cut down. It would save the money for the paper. And
what would you do substantively to make it a more intriguing, exciting newspaper? What kind of columns would you like to see?
Well, I would like to see them highlighted and shorter. You know,
there are a lot of social columns in these newspapers. I don't know why is there so much social activity going on here?
Oh, I don't know. And of course, that's something
I want more gossip, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, it is.
All right, Ann, I thank you for the call. I want more gossip. I want to find out if Owens is really having this affair with this young lawyer that everybody's saying he's having. He's a guy who ran on a platform of family values. Don't you think that that's a story? If you can't nail it down, there's good blind items. What do you think? I think it's a real story. 303-382-1150. The shocking news today, getting on to other things, if you're just joining us, here's what we've been talking about. Oh, we're going to continue to be stressed in Denver. Because I thought it was fun, voted in favor of de-stressing Denver, knowing that it would not succeed, but I tried anyhow. If you're just tuning in, here's what you're missing. A discussion of sweeps and the Eugene Dilbeck and whether that was whether that will have turned out to be a legitimate story that Seven is working on that got Dilbeck fired, whether Dilbeck was fired for any real irregularities or because the board felt blindsided by this investigation, which I don't know what it investigated exactly. We'll find out more. Tony Kovaleski happened to be listening and called in to try to explain it. You can watch more of it on Channel 7 as it unfolds and on the website. We're talking about the real investigative piece is now that we're in November sweeps, there are a lot of stories about city workers who aren't working on the clock. But our listener, Eric, asked a really good question. He said, what about real stories about the shenanigans that Owens is involved in and some of the big players in town? We don't get those stories. Is it we don't get those stories because the owners of the large media conglomerates are all sort of in the same bed together? Do we not get them because these are profit-driven enterprises and it is very, very, very expensive to do real investigative reporting? Do we not get them because television doesn't really do as well with the nuance and subtlety that some of these stories require? Is that the case? And what would you like to see that would make a newspaper really shine that presently we don't have in either the Rocky or the Post? Christopher in Denver, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I love your show.
Thank you.
Love you.
Thank you.
I had two suggestions. One for the news. I absolutely cannot stand their news hole, especially in a tabloid type thing. I mean, you have an entire page of ads or a double spread of ads and one little column, and I hate flipping through it. So, and I know they're about making money, but...
You talking about the Rocky Mountain News?
Oh, yeah.
Because I think that, I feel that way sometimes about the layout in the Denver Post. You'll go to various pages and the ads are so dominant and the copy is so minuscule in comparison. There has to be another way to do it, and I don't exactly know what, but I never felt that way about other papers as much as I do about the Post. So I have to look at how other papers are constructed to see why.
No, I like the Post personally. I love it. And I know you were talking about their typography and stuff, but... Personally, I like it. I think the news is too clunky. But the other suggestion I had was for the Post. I love Diane Spencer, Diane Carmen and Jim Spencer, their columns. I think they're often pretty thoughtful. They're thought-provoking. They oftentimes remind me a lot of you and, like, what I like about KNRC. And I would like to see more of them. I know Diane's only on there 3 days a week, and I think Jem Spencer's there 3 days a week, too. But, I mean, that's the type of stuff they draw you in, whether it's local or national, that they're commenting on. And I really like it. I'd like to see more of that from them.
Okay. I thank you for the comments, Christopher. Thanks for listening, too. I appreciate your nice words. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150, noon to 3, KNRC.
Talk radio, both sides, AM 1150, KNRC.
Welcome to Baguette Country, where the ovens work to create crisp, hot baguettes. Welcome to Burger King. Introducing the Smoky Barbecue Chicken Baguette Sandwich. A juicy breast of fire-grilled chicken, peppers, onions, and a smoky barbecue sauce on a fresh-baked baguette. Made to order with only 5 grams of fat. The new Smoky Barbecue Chicken Baguette from Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
Honey, why are you wallpapering? Hmm? I thought you needed to fix the lawnmower and a bunch of other stuff around here.
This isn't wallpaper. I'm just hanging up my to-do list.
Have a lot on your list? Sears can get you through it more quickly by offering easy access to over 4.5 million parts. Call 1-800-4-MY-HOME, click on Sears.com, or come into a Sears Parts and Repair Center. Where can you find the right part for all major brands of lawn equipment and home appliances, no matter where you bought them? Sears. Good life, great price.
In a perfect world, automatic cameras would automatically take good pictures. Your photos would never fade the way memories do. And Red Eye would be nothing more than an overnight flight. But the world isn't perfect, so there's Walgreens Photo Center, with certified specialists to answer questions and help make your photos picture perfect. Plus film, batteries, digital and disposable cameras, and 1-hour processing. That's life. This is Walgreens.
KNRC Community Commitment.
Have you been considering adoption? November is National Adoption Month, and the Adams County Children and Family Center is hosting an adoption party on Tuesday, November 18th. You don't have to be a resident of Adams County to participate, and there will be fun, food, face painting, and more. The event will be from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at the Church of God at 9375 Gaylord Street in Thornton. RSVP for the adoption party Tuesday, November 18th by calling 303-412-5151. Money for college plus job skills from a part-time job? You bet. Fuel your future in the Air National Guard. Check it out online at goang.com. That's goang.com.
Talk to Lionel.
Everybody's trying to reinvent this thing called dating, meeting. Oh, here's one for you. This one says she's fun-loving. You know, there's nothing better than somebody who loves fun. Really, I love ethnic food, now here we go, and 80s movies. You know what we should have? Dumbass! I'm a semi-literate who doesn't know what to say. Basically what they're saying is, do you really care what movies I like? Here's my picture!
Lionel, weeknights from 9 p.m. to midnight on AM 1150 KNRC. Listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
1:57 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. We're talking about what would improve the circulation of both the Rocky and the Post, both of which are suffering a small circulation decline, about 5%. And Westward, I don't know. You know, they're not audited because it's a free giveaway. It's a giveaway paper. But those pieces, I don't know. I think that was a publication that was more cutting edge at one time. I think those pieces are really, really long, way too long. In a way, that's sort of undisciplined. I don't know who has the time to read really, really, really long pieces like that. And I would say better graphics for Westward. There's a lot of attitude on that paper, and sometimes the substance isn't there. That's my take on it. You might disagree, 303-382-1150. But I would like to see better, sharper writing on the Post and the Rocky Mountain News. I don't know, a redesign of the Post for certain. Irish calling from Castle Rock. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Irish.
Hello.
Welcome.
Enid, I have a bitch about the Rocky Mountain News. Now, you take the Post, you say.
I take them both, but tell me quickly because we don't have much time.
All right. they're either using bad recycled paper, bad ink, or there's something wrong with the presses, because I get ink all over the bottom lines of my story. Hell, I can't even finish reading the story half the time.
Which paper? Both of them or one?
Rocky Mountain News.
Really?
Because yeah.
I haven't. I'm usually pretty sensitive to that. I hate it when that happens. I get that with Westward. So I don't know. All right, your bitch is recorded for posterity here, Irish.
I thank you.
Thank you very much. Do you find that to be the case? I haven't found that so much with the, but she does. Well, in the next hour, some dramatic news out of Washington. A lot of news, actually. We haven't gotten to that yet. We've been all over the place here talking about journalism. We've been talking about how you would improve the Rocky and the Post, talking about November sweeps and television, talking about a lot of different things. Charlie Rangel, who is a highly decorated congressman from New York, he has called for the resignation of Donald Rumsfeld, and there's talk about staffing up draft boards. So what would happen if we instituted the draft again? What do you imagine would be occurring on the streets of America? And somebody just emailed me, that Ted guy in the outfit, the rumor is that Ted is the name of United Airlines new low-cost carriers, from Katie. Katie, thank you for this piece of intelligence and reconnaissance. I'm Enid Goldstein. One more hour of Enid Live coming up right here, noon to 3, KNRC on AM 1150.
Both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 2 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Cloudy, 32 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by local REMAX offices. Denver Mayor John Hickenlooper is lowering parking meter rates the day after Thanksgiving. Rates will drop from $1.50 an hour to $1 an hour, fulfilling a campaign promise Hickenlooper made while running for mayor. The mayor says parking meters exist to keep people from hogging parking spots and not to raise revenue.
Parking spaces are available for customers who want to come down for a brief period, shop, and then leave and make space for another customer. They were never intended to be a source of revenue generation for the city. And I think that what we're going to do is really announce that the city of Denver is open for business.
In addition, Hickenlooper says that he'll start a one-year test of free Sunday parking at the same time, and says that most downtown business owners like the idea of free parkings on Sunday. The parking meters affected are in downtown Denver, the Golden Triangle, and Colfax Avenue. Four Fort Carson soldiers were among the 15 killed when that Chinook helicopter was shot down in Iraq over the weekend. Staff Sergeant Daniel Bader of Colorado Springs was one of those who lost their lives. The other Fort Carson soldiers killed were Sergeant Ernest Bucklew of Enon Valley, Pennsylvania, and Specialist Darius T. Jennings of Cordova, South Carolina, and Brian H. Peniston of Fort Wayne, Indiana. Colorado voters said no to every statewide measure on the ballot yesterday, but they did approve many local school initiatives, including a three-year, $310 million bond issue and a $20 million mill levy in Denver. Board of Education President Elaine Grants Berman says it is a tremendous step forward for Denver public schools. More smoking bans for Coloradans. Bans were passed in both Greeley and Summit counties yesterday, but a measure that would have weakened Pueblo's smoking ban went up in smoke. The measure was enacted by City Council last year. Opponents orchestrated a recall election last year that got rid of several City Council members who had voted for the ban. Voters had already voted down a measure to repeal the ban in May. Opponents then got another measure on the November ballot, but their latest attempt to get smoking back in Pueblo bars and restaurants went up in smoke. When he admitted to killing 48 women in the Pacific Northwest, Green River serial killer Gary Ridgway said he selected the victims because they were prostitutes and he hated them. Northeastern University sociologist Jack Levin says serial killers tend to pick people who are on the margins of society.
You know, most serial killers are motivated by an excessive need for power, control, and dominance. They really are after a feeling of importance. They want to be in charge. The more they make their victims suffer, the better they feel about themselves.
Levin says authorities may not learn much about serial killers from Ridgway, but he can lead them to the bodies of his victims. He says while Ridgway is viewed as the most prolific serial killer in U.S. history, it's possible that another serial killer may have slain more than 100 people, but police don't know about it or can't prove it. Ridgway was sentenced to life in prison today. He escaped the death penalty by pleading guilty to the 48 slayings. A federal judge in Nebraska has issued a temporary restraining order that blocks a partial birth abortion ban signed into law by President Bush earlier today. The order was imposed by Chief Judge Richard G. Kopf of the U.S. District Court in Lincoln. Four doctors filed a lawsuit in Nebraska seeking to ban the legislation. The ban imposes the first federal limit on abortion since the U.S. Supreme Court confirmed a woman's constitutional right to end her pregnancy in 1973. Opponents of the ban complain that the legislation does not contain exemptions to protect the health and life of a woman. A preliminary injunction hearing is scheduled for next Wednesday. Two DNA experts from the FBI have linked alleged sniper John Allen Muhammad, as well as his suspected accomplice Lee Boyd Malvo, to the scene of three sniper murders and one non-fatal shooting. Kathy Culpepper reports from the courthouse in Virginia.
Agent Laura Gioni said Harris found at the scene of the shooting of Paula Rufa in Clinton, Maryland, matched Malvo's hair. A hair found in a duffel bag at the Aspen, Maryland slang of Comrade Johnson matched Muhammad's hair. Agent Brendan Shea said DNA taken from a pen of the shooting scene of a middle school student in Bowie, Maryland, matched both Muhammad and Malvo. Shea also testified that both men's DNA was found on items left of the sniper shooting incident at a Ponderosa in Ashland, Virginia. Kathy Culpepper, Virginia Beach.
The country music community takes center stage tonight with the televised presentation of the 37th Annual Country Music Association Awards. Toby Keith is the front runner with seven nominations. The CMAs will also remember the late Johnny Cash with a musical tribute. The presentations will be made at the Grand Ole Opry in Nashville and will air on CBS. In sports, tonight marks the first time top NBA draft picks Carmelo Anthony of the Denver Nuggets and LeBron James of the Cleveland Cavaliers meet on the basketball court since they were in high school. The Nuggets are in Cleveland for tonight's game. Whether you're moving across town or across the world, RE/MAX can handle all your real estate needs and get the results you want. Call a RE/MAX office today. RE/MAX, outstanding agents, outstanding results. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:05.
Wow, I can't believe it. 50 years. Hi, this is Keith Lair with my sister Linda asking you to come see Lair Fireplace and Patio for all your fireplace needs and help us celebrate our 50th year in business.
Lair's is truly a family business. With our brother Ken at our Arvada store at 81st and Sheridan, I'm at our Littleton store on South Broadway, just north of Arapahoe Road, and Keith is at our original store in Denver at Holly and Evans.
When our father, Joe Lair, started in 1954, he had a very simple philosophy: sell quality products and treat your customers fairly. You know what? It's worked for 50 years.
That's why we carry quality fireplaces and inserts from Mendota.
If you're building, remodeling, or converting an existing fireplace to gas, check out the superior construction and efficiency of Mendota.
You know, the fireplace is the focal point of most rooms, so do it right. Don't skimp. Get a Mendota. Our expert installers can give you a free estimate right in your home.
That's Lair Fireplace and Patio, Denver's most trusted fireplace specialist for 50 years.
KNRC News Time is 2:06. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by Riceland Rice and Safeway. A pretty good driver on the metro area, finishing up an accident at Arapahoe and Holly. Up in the high country, you will see some icy spots around all the passes, Vail Pass, Berthoud Pass, and Loveland Pass, so take care if you're heading up into the mountains. You'll rediscover the great taste of home-cooked meals when you start with Riceland Rice. Visit Riceland.com for fast, easy dinner ideas. Pick up Riceland Rice at Safeway. Safeway, giving our best. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Going to be a very cold day today as we only top out around 34 and we could find a few pockets of freezing drizzles, light chance of a snow shower, lots of clouds and fog. And as we head into tonight, still going to be cloudy with fog, a low of 21. Then finally the clouds break after Thursday morning, should turn partly cloudy up to 41 degrees. And temperatures get closer to average Friday. They do get warmer, partly sunny with a high near 50. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's cloudy, 32 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
And now, the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
2:07. 7 minutes after 2 o'clock. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. If you're just tuning in, you have missed a lot. But let me reprise what we have been talking about. We were first talking about Eugene Dilbeck. We were talking about a lot of the news stories that happened during sweeps period. Then they typically tend to be stories about how city workers are caught lounging on the public dime. And in the case of the Convention Bureau, you had Channel 7 doing a report that talked about an after-hours event that took place at the Diamond Cabaret Strip Club. The Diamond Cabaret Strip Club is a member in good standing, as I understand it, of the Convention Bureau. The allegations in the newspaper were that no public monies were spent. Dilbeck himself was not there, and some of his workers were, but no. That this is routine, that some of these member businesses have various after-hours events, because what they're wanting to do, they want the Convention Bureau to push those businesses, the Palm, for example, direct conventions to those businesses so that, you know, so that their revenues are better. I mean, it's, you know, it's a business kind of thing. In any event, apparently Channel 7 wanted the books opened up. Dilbeck said no. The board agreed with him. No, they're not going to open them up. And then Channel 7, knowing that some of Dilbeck's people had gone to an after-hours event. Again, these are typically sponsored for the Convention Bureau folks at the strip club, a legitimate member of the Convention Bureau. No public money is used as far as we know so far. At least that's what's being claimed. He knew that, and he asked Walter Eisenberg what the, who I guess is Dilbeck's boss, what the policy was, and I think he blindsided Eisenberg. And so, of course, this is all caught on tape, and Eisenberg probably looks more foolish than he probably wished he looked. And so now there's a move afoot to fire Dilbeck, and in fact, it succeeded. Apparently, he was somebody who brought in a ton of convention business, so it sounds like he did his job very well, and I'm not so sure what his high crime was exactly. We will find out as more unfolds, and some of you have really held Channel 7's feet to the fire, but it inspired a whole discussion of what real reporting consists of. And Eric, one of our listeners, has been emailing me, you know, hey, this is great. When I had Brian Moss on doing, and he did a Channel 4 report on truant officers who were themselves pretty truant from their jobs and still on the public dime, he said, yeah, this is great, same old things, and nickel and dime stories about public workers, but what about the big guys, all the ways that they're screwing us, and we never hear about that. Owens apparently has a girlfriend, that's a rumor, that's what I'm hearing. Here's a guy who ran on family values, how come we don't hear more about that? I mean, that's a juicy scandal kind of a story, that's not like substantive reporting, and it led into a story about how both the Denver Post and the Rocky Mountain News' circulation is down, and what would you do to increase circulation? In other words, not simply how would you market the paper, how would you make them, both of those papers, better newspapers so that people would more want to read them? That you couldn't, your day couldn't be complete unless you had looked at both newspapers, or at least one of them, because they're so hot and they're so filled with interesting news. And I'll tell you something, this isn't widely known, but when I first, I was an executive at a television station in San Francisco. It was NBC's largest affiliate. And when I came to work, I really have always respected reporters and sometimes have been one myself. And I went up to the newsroom. I watched those reporters in the morning clipping out stories from the newspaper to do on the 6 and 10 newscasts. So it was a real eye opener for me. Now there's more investigative reporting going on. I want to see more of it. I want to see more of it in print, and there are plenty of stories here that I want to see more about, that we could talk about. And so if you have ideas for how to improve coverage, you know, and then Westward's a freebie. So they're not audited by ABC, the Audit Bureau circulation that they do for. So I don't know what the circulation is, and they certainly have fat advertising, and so does the Post and the Rocky. If you look at the number of ads, I mean, it looks like they're thriving. I don't know what the reality is, but tons and tons of ads. But in Westward's case, I would say a publication that could use a graphic overhaul. I would say those pieces, some people call it long-form journalism. I think it's undisciplined. Some of those stories are so long, so tedious. And a certain staleness had set into to Westward. There's an attitude. There's hip. It's edgy. It tries to be hip and edgy. Sometimes it succeeds more than other times. Sometimes it's a lot of attitude without a lot of substance. So those are my comments. You can make your own. I'm sure they have comments to make about me. And we'll see them reflected in the pages of their publication sometime soon. But I'm a connoisseur of newspapers. I like some of Westward's. I love their horoscope, for example, but they don't do that. That's something they don't do. I like some of the cartooning that they have there. I like getting some of the information there. Sometimes we have piggybacked off of stories. They did a wonderful report on the library, Friends of the Library, and how the library is alienated. Rick Ashton alienating a lot of Friends of the Library and longtime library folks with his arrogant, high-handed policies. And I had first-hand witness of it on this show when he was a guest. I mean, it was on the phone. And I think some of the way the libraries run, I think what they... I'm a connoisseur also of libraries. I think it's a scandal, the Central Library, the periodical section, just horrible the way they've done it. To go to Cherry Creek, all the DVDs and everything that you can check out on the first floor, but very few books, fiction on the second floor, low shelves, and not too much, a lot of white space there. But what happens is there's some guy in his basement who rates these library services, and on the basis of how many items are checked out, and the more that you check out items, the higher your rating. So therefore, Denver gets the rating of best library, number one library, cities 500,000 and greater. Let me ask you a question. Do you really believe that the Denver Public Library is a better library than the New York Library, the New York Public Library? I don't think so. And nobody in their right mind thinks so either. But they've managed to a high checkout rate of DVDs, CD, videotapes, whatever else that they've got there that is going out. So anyway, this is what we have been talking about. These are some of the highlights of what we've been talking about. All right, here it is. Dramatic, and I saw the footage of it on CNN. And that is Representative Charles Rangel. He has a highly decorated Korean War vet. He is a caustic critic of the military effort in Iraq. He labeled Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld, he did it publicly, an embarrassment, and he called for his resignation. He said it's time that he does the American people a service by resigning, Charles Rangel said, arguing that Rumsfeld has shown he has no strategy for securing post-war Iraq. He has no plan, said Rangel. When you have a problem, as we do in Iraq, you want somebody that does better than acknowledging that there's a problem. Heck, anybody can do that. I can get a kid from Lenox Avenue to tell you how screwed up things are. We need somebody to say, yes, it's bad, but these are our alternatives. This is what we're going to do. Rangel accused Rumsfeld of alienating world leaders and members of Congress. Well, he could have easily as accused George W. Bush of the same, while failing to safely rebuild Iraq. He has to be an embarrassment to the president, Rangel said. He has lacked the sensitivity to everything I believe in, especially the loss of life. The criticism follows a missile attack over the weekend on an army helicopter in Iraq, which killed 15 soldiers. The Harlem congressman has called for a reinstitution of the draft, arguing the burden of fighting in Iraq has fallen disproportionately on lower income and minority families. And in fact, draft boards are being restaffed. I want to ask you this question. If the draft were reinstituted now, and the children of the rich, and the children of the elites, and the children of people who are Congress people, our representatives, our senators, were called up to the draft, do you think there might not be rioting in the streets like there was in Vietnam days? Do you think that maybe this war would get over a lot faster, the occupation would get resolved in some better way? What do you think would happen if the children of the rich were subject to the draft? 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. And about the president. The president has not, as I have told you before, but there was a big story on it. I told you this some days ago, maybe last week. The president has not attended one funeral of any American soldier killed in action. He does send a personal letter to the family of every soldier killed in action. He has met privately with some of them, but without, you know, outside of camera range. He has not attended one funeral. Now, you may want to comment on that. I suppose you could make the argument, where do you stop? If you attend one, do you have to attend all of them? But he hasn't attended one. And just like they tarp those bodies coming in every night, those transports are filled with the maimed and the dead coming in to Washington, unloading them. Some go to the military hospitals where they have to do a triage. There are these scandalous stories about our troops, some of them from having served in Iraq, still waiting months for medical care at places like Fort Hood, Kentucky, or Fort Stewart in Georgia. And that's being investigated now. But they are screening any kind of media coverage. So you are not seeing the maimed coming in, and you are not seeing the body bags coming in. 303-382-1150. Joe, calling on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1150, KNRC.
Hi, Enid. I just happened to pick up the New York Times, and there's a really interesting editorial out by Christoph this morning, and he's quoting Zogby as saying that the information they're using out of his recent poll to support everything being fine and happy over there isn't true, that he can't understand how they got that out of his polling information. I don't know if you've seen that.
I just glanced at Christoph, but I didn't actually read it.
There's actual quotes from Zogby in there saying he doesn't understand how they can get the kind of conclusions out of his information that they're getting.
All right, I'm going to go. My copy is upstairs. I'm going to go pick it up, and I'm going to look at Christoph. So can you tell us exactly what he's saying specifically? In other words, are you saying that Christoph, who's a columnist, Nicholas Christoph is a columnist for the New York Times.
Right.
And you are saying that there is a Zogby poll, which tells us what? And he's questioning the premises of the poll?
No, he's questioning the use of his information. He's saying, Zogby's quoted as saying, I'm not willing to say they lied, but they used a very tight process of selective screening, and when they didn't get what they wanted, they were willing to manufacture some results. There was almost nothing in that poll to give them comfort.
All right, let me go look at that poll, and then we can
talk. That's a quote from Zogby.
All right, we can talk about it further. Thanks for bringing it to my attention, Joy.
Sure.
I appreciate that. 303-382-1150, Kashmir, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, man, I kind of find it hypocritical of you to put down the Denver Post. And I look at the Denver Post every day, and when I look at it and I listen to your show, because I don't listen to your show every day, I catch it every now and then. But when I do catch it, I find that you're getting a lot of your stories, a lot of stories you come up with, out of the Denver Post. And for you to put it down and say that...
I'm not putting either newspaper down. I get a lot of my stories from both of them. I look at both of them every day. I read them cover to cover. And the New York Times, I'm not putting them down. I'm asking the question I'm asking. I'm making some, observations about the paper. What would make it better? What would increase the circulation? So, Kashmir, you're misinterpreting.
Okay, well, fine. So that. Well, I got one... Well, one quote you interpreted, and you said that you thought the Westward stories was too long. Well, me, I also read the Westward, and my thing is, isn't that just a part of good journalism?
It can be, and there is a whole body of journalistic tradition liking the long-form stories, and here we are in a time when everything is shortened up and soundbite size and all that. Yes, but when they're just long to be long, and they're tedious, and it's undisciplined, that's a different kind of long to me, Kashmir.
But at the same time, the information that you're getting, it makes you paint a bigger picture of what's really going on.
Yeah, if it's an effective story, absolutely. Absolutely.
Right.
I'm not against long just because it's long. I'm against long if the cost-to-benefit ratio is not there. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live Midweek. Oh, it's downhill from here on AM 1150, noon to 3, KNRC.
In-depth and independent, AM 1150, KNRC.
Are you tired of the weight loss battle? Do you find yourself feeling desperate to lose weight and keep it off? Listen to what UltraCarb users are saying about their experiences.
I've been on UltraCarb for 2 weeks. I've lost a total of 10 pounds, and I cannot believe it.
In the first 9 days since using UltraCarb, I lost 10 pounds. It's the only thing that's worked for me, and I am so excited to get down to my goal weight. Right now, I'm losing 20 pounds a month, and within 6 weeks, I'll have reached my goal. UltraCarb is amazing, and I would recommend it to anyone who really wants to lose this weight.
Whoever said losing weight has to be difficult has not used UltraCarb. UltraCarb works by blocking carbohydrates, the source of most weight gain. If you want to lose up to 20 pounds and 2 to 3 dress or fan sizes per month, call now. UltraCarb is 100% guaranteed to work or receive a full refund. Call now to look and feel better about yourself.
Call 1-800-451-6432 and find out how you can get 1 month free with your order. That's 1-800-451-6432.
How would you like to spend your next vacation with Brad Paisley, Bill Anderson, Little Jimmy Dickens, and Ricky Skaggs? Come along with the Grand Ole Opry. The Opry Cruise is sailing to Grand Cayman, Cozumel, and other destinations in the Caribbean this January, and you can be aboard, courtesy of Banquet Home Style Banks. Just visit www.countrystars.com for more information. That's www.countrystars.com. Brought to you by America's favorite meal, Banquet Home Style Banks.
Honey, why are you wallpapering?
Hmm?
I thought you needed to fix the lawnmower and a bunch of other stuff around here.
This isn't wallpaper. I'm just hanging up my to-do list.
Have a lot on your list? Sears can get you through it more quickly by offering easy access to over 4.5 million parts. Call 1-800-4-MY-HOME, click on Sears.com, or come into a Sears Parts and Repair Center. Where can you find the right part for all major brands of lawn equipment and home appliances, no matter where you bought them? Sears. Good life, great price.
Denver's job picture is in the dumps. Just last year, the city lost 23,000 jobs. If you're tired of our down economy, join Mayor John Hickenlooper and Denver City Councilman Doug Linkhart at the Jumpstart Denver Economic Forum tonight, November 5th, at the Newman Center for the Performing Arts at the University of Denver. The event starts at 5:30 p.m., and the public is invited to provide ideas for getting Denver's economy moving again. For information on tonight's Jumpstart Denver Forum, go to jumpstartdenver.com or call 720-865-8000.
Hi, this is Greg Dobbs. Join me every weekday morning from 6 to 10 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now, back to Enid Goldstein.
223 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm looking at this Christoph column in the New York Post, and now I see what our caller was talking about, that Zogby, who is a pollster, that Dick Cheney said that he cited a Zogby poll to back his claims that there's very positive news in Iraq. But the pollster, John Zogby, said, "I was floored to see the spin they put on it. Some of the numbers were not my numbers at all." In other words, what Christoph is saying is this is death by optimism. They not only lied to us, the regime in Washington, about how we were going to be greeted as liberators and this and that and the other, but most of all, they lied to themselves, and they're concocting all these phony numbers that they're pulling out of who knows where. 303-382-1150. Fred, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1150 KNRC.
Well, hey, Enid, since you were saying that the governor was, quote, trysting with his girlfriend in the governor's mansion?
Well, I don't know. That's the rumor, that that the reason for the separation is that he's got a girlfriend.
When it was, I thought I'd let the governor's press secretary, Dan Hopkins, know. And he said, oh, is that so?
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Did he deny it?
No, he wanted to know more about you.
But did he deny that the governor's having an affair?
He said, who is Enid Goldstein?
Well, he should find out.
I guess he's going to know.
I guess.
Uh-huh. But maybe he'll give you a call.
Yeah. So tell me what's on your mind, Fred.
No, I just wanted to let you know. I let him know.
Okay. Thanks very much. A public service announcement, 303-382-1150. Ron, calling from Evergreen. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1150 KNRC.
You were saying reinstitution of the draft?
Yes. What if it is reinstituted?
Okay. Let me put it this way. During the Vietnam War, I was a pilot in Vietnam, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When I came home, I could not get a flight slot. There were no flight slots available. They would just do what they did then, turn the National Guard into a reserve for
the children of the elites?
Well, like George W. Bush,
he'd get
out there.
Right.
So they just do it the other way. Right now they're using the reserves as the draftees. They're not going to serve, believe me.
They'll find a way out. So you don't think, but you know what? I think if there is the possibility that they are going to serve, I think that you will see a more engaged, people will be reading the newspapers more. You'll see a more engaged population of kids who might have to be drafted, and they might get more politically engaged because they don't want to go.
Oh, I agree with that, but, you know, I was politically engaged, you know, against the war before I got drafted. You know, I got drafted and sent over there.
Right.
You know, so
all right,
my option was fly or sit on the ground, so I did the obvious.
Thank you for calling, 303-382-1150. Joe, calling from Westminster. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1150 KNRC.
Yes, Enid. I apologize if you already talked about this. I just joined your show a while ago. But did you see...
Well, now, how come you're not listening for all 3 hours, Joe?
Well, I had to go out to lunch, and I'm sorry.
Oh.
I usually do.
Okay.
I'll do better. I'll try to do better.
Well, all right.
No, I was wondering if you...
You're not allowed to have a life. You have to just listen here.
Okay. All right. I was wondering if you saw the story. It was in both the News and the Post, but the Post is especially vivid of the fiancé in Colorado Springs, the woman whose fiancé died on the...
Yes, that picture was so heartbreaking.
Yeah, that's... I'm surprised if you hadn't talked about it. It so vividly illustrates the human cost of what's going on. And it doesn't necessarily, you know, in itself, you know, make the war immoral. I mean, that type of thing could happen in, you know, in a just justified war, but I think it takes...
But it's more painful in a war that many people feel was unjustified. This was not the war. I'm not against war, but this wasn't the right one. This isn't where we needed to go to defend ourselves against terrorism. This was some concocted idea. Now they're putting their blinkers on and they lie to themselves as much, I think, as they have lied to us. And liberators, we were going to be greeted as liberators, and nobody thought this thing through. And what's really astonishing to me, I'm not the most logistical of thinkers in this universe, but I would have had some kind of a plan once we get in there. What do we do now that we're there? And the Pentagon seems to not have done that, even though the State Department had a plan in place that now looks, as was described, eerily prescient as to what would happen, that there would be looting, that you needed to have a kind of civil structure in place, that you ought to have the army involved, and so on. The Pentagon took one look at this and shelved it. This was even before they went into Iraq in the beginning, before the war took place. They completely shelved it, and now, and just because they're in a snit with the State Department, it's all political and it's egotistical. And guess who's suffering? We and these families. And you see the pictures. And the New York Times is doing something I think is very interesting. Everybody who comes back, like they did with the 9/11 victims, there's a paragraph about them. It makes them real. They're not just a name. Describe what was a real person.
You're right. I think if anybody's still thinking about this whole thing on an academic or abstract level, then they should look at this and look at the picture and the anguish on that woman's face, and hopefully that'll bring it down to reality.
No, people don't want to see it. It's really too painful. They see it, they're pained, they turn the page. I thank you, Joe, for the call. 303-382-1150. Bush's staff is calculating his silence on the casualties to recognize it. He has not gone to one single funeral, and he doesn't really talk about it except in a very general way. What do you think about that? Because they don't want this associated with him. Also, rivals are condemning Howard Dean. He is contemplating something that Bush is already doing. Dean is considering, and he's going to put it to his online back. They're going to poll his online backers. He's considering a plan to forego public financing. He would be one of the few people to ever do that. I think Bush has got so much money in his war chest, like $200 million. Howard Dean is planning to poll his supporters in an unusual online survey about whether he should become the first Democratic presidential candidate ever to abandon the 30-year-old public financing system in the primaries. Now, why would he want to do that? Why would he want to give away that money? Because there are some strictures on it. There are some rules, and he wants to not be governed by those rules. So that's what's happening there. Also, he's getting condemned by his rivals, and of course they better get themselves together on the same page, or else we're going to look at four more years of an incompetent regime here, the Bush regime. But rivals are condemning Howard Dean for making a rebel flag remark, and I think I know what he meant by it, and I want to know what you think. In an emotional finger-pointing display, Howard Dean was repeatedly rebuked by his Democratic rivals at a debate in Boston last night for saying last week that he wanted to be, quote, the candidate for guys with Confederate flags in their pickup trucks. So now this is perceived as being racist. I don't think that's what he meant. I think what he meant was, I want to be the candidate of everybody. He's being criticized for being the candidate only of the elites, or not enough faces of color in his campaign or in his supporters. And what he's saying is, hey, listen, I don't want to be just the candidate of folks who don't move their lips when they're reading. I want to be the candidate of guys in pickup trucks with Confederate flags. He refused to apologize for a statement. Al Sharpton really took him to task over it. Al Sharpton gets off some good one-liners. He's funny, but I don't think he should be president of the United States. John Edwards loudly assailed him for using what he asserted was a potent and divisive symbol of segregation, that being the Confederate flag. Martin Luther King said, come into the table of brotherhood, Al Sharpton said, speaking at a nationally televised CNN debate. You can't bring a Confederate flag to the table of brotherhood, and you can't misquote Martin Luther King like that. I come out of the King movement, I just didn't just read him. John Edwards says, I don't think you're a bigot, but I think you are insensitive, he said. So when Howard Dean made that remark, should he apologize for it? I don't think he needs to. I mean, I think he can clarify it, but I wouldn't apologize for it. What he wants to do is he wants to offer a big tent, and he wants everybody in there. So here's Howard Dean coming under a certain amount of condemnation for making the rebel flag remark. People are calling it insensitive. Also, there's a movement afoot to restaff draft boards. So that means the possibility Charlie Rangel, who's calling for the resignation of Donald Rumsfeld, he is the one who long time ago called for reinstituting the draft, that if the children of the elites had to go, they might think twice about sending your kids to the draft. The CIA needs to learn Arabic, according to a House Republican. Well, no kidding, and duh. There are leaflets that are being passed out or, you know, distributed in Iraq. Also graffiti in Arabic, warning the locals of impending attacks, and the Americans can't read Arabic, so they don't know. And as a result also of not knowing and not having enough Arabic speakers, the CIA is not able to penetrate and get the kind of intelligence that it needs to have. So the CIA needs to learn Arabic, and this Peter Goss, who is very well respected, he's a Republican, he's chairman of the House Intelligence Committee. He said that the pre-war American intelligence about Iraq had been hampered by significant shortcomings, including what he called the CIA's unsatisfactory response to congressional directives to improve its foreign language capacity. At the same time, by the way, that we're pulling out more foreign language education from our schools. A lot of schools are saying goodbye to foreign languages. Districts are cutting classes. Parents are organizing after-hours tutorial. But there were a lot of districts where they were teaching foreign languages in the grade schools. I never got it until high school, although I grew up in a bilingual family, a bi-trilingual family household. My grandparents lived with us. Their English wasn't the greatest, but it gave me a facility for languages. I speak a number of them pretty badly at this point, about six or seven, only in the present tense now. But that's what happens when you grow up in a bilingual family. I think it gives you not only a facility for other languages, it also gives you a facility for English. So I think maybe that's my writing skills, in case I have any. And really, I always think of myself as a writer, even though I hardly do it anymore. I think it comes from growing up that way. And also my grandfather was a writer, so there's some, maybe there's a little bit of a gene in the family. I want to ask you, CBS has caved to all this public pressure to pull the miniseries on the Reagans. What would have happened if they hadn't caved? If they had run the series? What's the worst that could have happened? Some advertising being pulled? I think that the conservatives, because they're so well organized, they threaten all these things and they scare networks like CBS. But the truth of the matter is, if CBS had run the series, I can't imagine that anything too significant would have happened. They threatened to boycott advertisers. They threatened this, they threatened that. But I'll bet you it wouldn't have amounted to very much besides threats. What do you think? 303-382-1150. I think that they caved. If they were looking for a controversial something to get ratings, and they had it with this. And the senior management at CBS saw it, approved it every step of the way, until finally there was a lot of controversy. So I really think if their gut was that this was right, I mean, if they made him say things that he would never have said or he didn't believe, that's, then you've got to say it was a fictionalized treatment. But if this is historically accurate information, then I think they should have gone with it, and they should not have caved. I think it makes them look really wussy. I don't have any respect for them for doing it. 303-38. But then we do talk radio here. We don't cave. You know, the newspapers pull their punches. They're not talking about whether Owens, whether these rumors, they're not investigating these rumors of extramarital affairs that have dogged Owens. I'm not seeing any kind of blind items. They're not pursuing a lot of stuff. They're not telling you a lot of things. But here, on Enid Live, we don't pull our punches. I tell it to you the way I see it, and I try to be as accurate as I can possibly be. Sometimes I make mistakes, and all of you are very eagle-beagle-eyed, sharp-eyed, and you catch me when I do, and I'm happy that you catch me, and I thank you for that. And when I don't know something, many of you can fill in the gaps, and I really appreciate that a lot. When a show has gone well, I'm smarter at the end of it than I was at the beginning of it. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150, noon to 3, KNRC. 2:36, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Cloudy, 32 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by OnStar. Starting the day after Thanksgiving, you'll be paying less to use a parking meter in Denver. Mayor John Hickenlooper fulfilled a campaign promise today by announcing that rates will drop to $1 an hour compared to the current $1.50. Sunday parking will also be free for at least a year. Lots of no's came out of yesterday's voting. Voters said no to Amendment 33 that would have put gambling voting machines and dog tracks. They said no to referendum A, which would have given the governor $4 billion for water storage. Denver voters also said no to the so-called peace initiative that would have forced the city to institute a variety of programs to reduce stress. The Denver Rescue Mission is asking for the public's help for Thanksgiving. The mission hosts a huge holiday feast and needs more turkeys. Spokeswoman Greta Ritchie says that any size bird will do, and you can drop one off at any time. The Denver Rescue Mission is located at 23rd and Lawrence. President Bush has signed into law a controversial ban on so-called partial birth abortions, but the debate over the issue isn't over yet. A federal judge in Nebraska has issued a temporary restraining order that blocks the legislation signed by Bush today. The man believed to be the infamous Green River serial killer has pleaded guilty to 48 murders that took place in Washington State in the early 80s. Gary Ridgway entered the pleas as part of an agreement with prosecutors. The move is expected to spare him from the death penalty. Five American soldiers have been wounded in a series of attacks on troops in northern Iraq. This as thousands of National Guard and Reserve troops could get orders as soon as tonight to begin preparing for deployment to the Gulf State. They'll be part of a rotation to replace the 132,000 soldiers already in Iraq. In sports, the Denver Nuggets head into Cleveland tonight to face the Cavaliers. Top draft picks Carmelo Anthony of the Nuggets and LeBron James of the Cavs meet for the first time on a basketball court since they were in high school. With OnStar, if you need roadside assistance, it's only a button press away. An advisor will call your preferred roadside assistance provider and direct them to your location, even if you're not sure where you are. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:38.
No one's ever ready for car trouble. Good thing Advance Auto Parts is ready. From headlights to taillights and every part in between, Advance has the name brands you trust. Monroe, Bendix, AC Delco, Autocraft, and many more. All in stock at ready-to-go low prices. You may not be ready for car trouble, but we will be. So bring it on. We're ready in Advance.
For the best parts, people and brass, we're ready in Advance.
Yeah, bring it on. Bicycling, soccer, baseball, skiing, wrestling, rollerblading, basketball, snowboarding, football, skateboarding. What do they all have in common? Plastic protective gear to help keep your kids safe. Now, you could always just put them in a bubble, a plastic bubble, of course, but we wouldn't recommend it. Plastics make it possible. The American Plastics Council.
KNRC News Time is 2:39. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by the 37th Annual CMA Awards, and we have a big problem. It's westbound I-70 on the ramp to C-470. We have a modular trailer that's come off its hinges and rolled there, so it's going to take a while to get out of there. Probably looking at about another hour and a half. One lane's closed down, so major delays on the west side. Everything else, though, driving pretty well. Alan Jackson with Jimmy Buffett, Nora Jones with Dolly Parton, Tim McGrath, Shania Twain, Toby Keith, and more on the 37th Annual CMA Awards tonight at 7 on CBS4. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with a KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Going to be a very cold day today as we only top out around 34 and we could find a few pockets of freezing drizzle, slight chance of a snow shower, lots of clouds and fog. And as we head into tonight, still going to be cloudy with fog, a low of 21. Then finally the clouds break after Thursday morning, should turn partly cloudy up to 41 degrees. And temperatures get closer to average Friday. They do get warmer, partly sunny with a high near 50. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's cloudy, 32 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:41. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 3 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Everybody said go to MedVet.
It's Thanksgiving, and MedVet is saying thanks by giving you unbelievable savings on rows and rows of new Chevrolets. MedVet discounts brand new O'Free Chevy Tahoes as much as $13,500. Buy O'Free Cavaliers as low as $69.69. That's right, $69.69. And MedVet has Chevy Trailblazers for as little as $22,688. Plus, get 0% financing for 72 months on select sport utilities. And if you can find a better advertised deal on new Chevys, show it to MedVet and we'll beat it. Any dealer, any current ad. MedVet will beat their advertised price. Remember, MedVet has the highest trade-in allowances, the lowest interest rates, and acres of new Chevys. MedVet is the powerhouse. MedVet Chevrolet, on the I-25 corridor, depart the 181 ramp, Castle Rock, or on I-70 in Wheat Ridge. Exit Kipling, exit Ward, but exit the giant MedVet Autoplex. Chevrolet. We'll be there.
Everybody said, go to MedVed.
With approved credit, must qualify for Olds loyalty, military, and gas tank rebates. Stock number 6242 and 4389. See MedVed for details.
KNRC Market Watch.
We had to settle for a mixed day on Wall Street. The Dow lost 18 to finish at 98.20. The NASDAQ added 1 to close at 19.59. And the S&P 500 fell 1 to end the day at 10.51. Finding Nemo is swimming off the shelves. Disney says the movie sold a record 8 million DVDs and videos its first day in stores. Disney added a quarter today. It was the biggest percentage gainer on the Dow. Altria is reaffirming its profit outlook for the year. It also thinks its tobacco business should get better next year and beyond. Altria gained a half dollar. And in news after the bell, Cisco has beaten earnings expectations thanks to corporations spending more on technology. Cisco is up a buck after hours. Once again, the Dow Jones Industrial Average gave back 18 points today. The NASDAQ added a point, and the S&P 500 was down one. I'm John Wardock from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150. We hear you. 303-382-1150. Closes your phone.
303-382-1150. KNRC. 2:43 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. Gloomy outside, vibrant inside here on Enid Live. And also, what I want to say is one of the things we try to do here is tell the truth. And I don't pull my punches. You may disagree with what I have to say, and you're free to express it here. It's one of the few places where you're going to have a forum. You and I might cuff each other around vigorously, but you're always free to call in 303-382-1150. And please tell your friends about us, because if you want radio that's real radio, not part of the consolidated, stale trough of Walmart across the way to survive and thrive, that's the way it happens, word of mouth. Let's head over to the phones. Liz, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hey, I heard that this Owen story isn't being reported yet because there's an even larger story brewing underneath.
Which is?
Which is that the governor may be a daddy in the near future as the result of his wiggle-wiggling.
Oh, no. Oh, I didn't hear that part of the story. You think that there's any truth to it?
That might come out. They're sitting on that right now. But he runs a pretty tight little ship over there. I heard.
You heard.
So we'll see what happens.
Oh my goodness! This is so. No wonder. I thought it had to be pretty bad. I figured Mrs. Owens finally had it.
It's a very, very bad thing. And if this comes out, I don't know. Let me ask.
But how do we know? How do we know if it doesn't come out? How do we know that an abortion didn't occur or a child didn't get put up for adoption?
There's a myriad of things that could happen, and
how far along do you imagine this little product of wiggle would be?
Pretty far along. Pretty far along.
And there's no partial birth abortion anymore.
Right.
Oh
right.
My goodness.
But let me ask you, do you think that should sink his political career if it's true?
Well, here's a guy, if it's true, he runs on family values, and meanwhile he's got wiggle wiggle going, and not only that, wiggle wiggle that leads to a little Owens. Well, I mean, don't you think that, can you spell hypocrisy?
You know, I got to tell you, all this stuff with Rush and Owens and all these allegations of people saying one thing and doing another, I don't care. I think we've come to a place in our culture where we just kind of smirk condemn people who lack probity. Or less than moral, I guess. And we don't have any heroes anymore. My generation certainly doesn't.
No, not very many. And if you ask people who would be your hero, you're hard pressed to name somebody. But here's somebody whose policies I mainly am not in agreement with. And I don't respect his policies. And then to come to find out that he should get an Academy Award for Best Acting, not to mention the Grecian Formula Award.
Well, let's see what
Or possibly the Viagra Award.
He could get both, I guess.
I don't know.
And let me just quick...
Oh, Liz, this is so juicy. I can't believe it.
Let me quick weigh in on the newspaper thing.
Yeah.
I don't read these papers here.
Why?
I think they're snooze. They put me to sleep.
What papers do you read? Do you read any paper?
Yes, I do. I read the New York Times and the LA Times online. I read the Times here when it comes to my place, and then I read the LA Times online and the Washington Post.
Yeah, I do too. All of those. They're good papers. Now, what would make, if you were, you have really great ideas, what would you have to do to improve both the Post and the Rocky? If you were running those papers, what would you do?
Oh, my God, that's easy. First of all, they'd have to hire me. And second, they would have to have you write more columns for them like you did way back when. When will you write another one?
I did one. It took me all weekend. I'm slow.
Did it take you 6 months to write a column?
It'll take me six months to write one column. And it'll be old by the time by the time they run it. What else would you do, though, Liz?
I don't know. They need some hip. They need some funny. I mean, my generation doesn't read newspapers. They're certainly not going to read the Denver Post.
But you're reading newspapers. You're reading the good ones. You're reading the LA Times.
I'm reading the good ones. But you have to engage little zombie Slurpee drinking mall rats that are looking for something sacred and profound in Abercrombie and Fitch. You know, so you need a paper that's going to address that. And Denver Post, Rocky Mountain News doesn't have it.
You know, if they don't hire you to be their editor. For the Slurpee mall rat generation, then they are making a huge mistake, Liz.
I'll send my resume in. Quickly, one more thing. Happy birthday, Rain. Happy birthday, Rain.
Is this Rain's birthday?
She's having a birthday.
All right. Now, I have to, as long as you brought it up, happy birthday to Rain. What birthday is it?
It's 13.
Rain is 13.
Yes.
Now, I have...
Lucky 13.
Lucky 13. It's really lucky. 13 is one of my lucky numbers, as a matter of fact.
It's going to be the best year of her life.
It is. And let me just say, this is Liz of Liz, Samantha, and Billy fame, who you all used to keep up with on the board.
You can knock Billy off of that.
All right. He's not part of it. But anyway, and so Rain started to chime in on the discussion boards. And here are the adults, or quasi-adults, talking about things. And Rain is just a kid, and she sort of gets it a little bit. You know, it's coming through a kid's eye, so she doesn't quite know when they're being funny or not. So it's kind of hilarious, and it adds another dimension. And then it turns out that all of you met inadvertently, and you and Samantha took Rain and her friend Amy on a trip to California. They had never been on a plane before. It was the highlight of their lives, and it turns out that Rain is suffering from leukemia, which I never knew, but she emailed me to say that you guys showed up at the skate park with sodas and pizzas for everybody, and that's when she realized you were the Liz, and that was the Sam that she was emailing with, and she was too embarrassed to come up to you because I guess maybe she doesn't have as much hair because of the chemo, but her friend Amy, and she says she stutters when she's nervous, and her friend Amy pushed her into it, and that's when you all met, and when you met Rain's mom, and then somehow, fast forward, Rain goes for treatment, and somehow the bill is magically paid, but nobody will fess up to how the bill got magically paid, but maybe you guys are suspected in that process. And then fast forward, you guys take Rain and her friend Amy to California. They have never been on a plane. They're met by a limousine. They are wined and dined, and they have an experience. You know, Rain really emailed me on this. It's just incredible. And Rain was concerned about you, Miss Liz, so we are happy to know that things are perking along for you. And you guys are angels and miracles, and Rain's mom tried to get her to go to church. She said, Sam and Liz are angels and miracles. We're going to beat this, Rain. And Rain said, I don't want to go to church. She said, I'm dying, and I don't want to waste my time in church. And that's when her mom said, we're going to beat it. And Rain said, I haven't seen my mom so happy about things in a long time. So you guys are just incredible.
And this is what happens, or could happen, if people would call the Enid Goldstein Show. Look at what has trickled down from just me making a call.
You called in, and everybody fell in love. You called in a lot, and people fell in love with you. Billy fell in love with you. Sam fell in love with you.
I don't think so many people are in love with me anymore, but people could change their lives. Call the Enid Goldstein Show. There's a million things that could happen out of it.
What are we going to do to wish Rain a happy birthday? What kind of a birthday celebration is being planned? Huh?
A big party.
Big party.
A very big party.
Oh, good. Oh, good. You guys are great. Well, okay. Fill me in. Let me know what happens.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks, Liz. 303-382-1150. I'm not making any of this up. They drop down from the skies, and I'm just delighted. And I get these emails from Rain that are almost poetry. There's not one word that's spelled correctly. But they are Ms. Goldstein's. They always begin, sincerely, Rain, and she gives her last name. I mean, she's great. Maybe she could be a writer. She could be a writer. She doesn't know she's writing poetry. And her friend Amy. So I think this is wonderful. And I you know, it was just my show, but I really didn't have very much to do with it. 303-382-1150, but I sort of feel like there's a blessing for all of us in this. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC. So when I say do something generous, you know what? I mean that it has consequences.
Get your side, get their side. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC. Music of Your Life would like to hear from our listeners. If you own a national business or work in the advertising department for a national business that could advertise on our radio network, please contact us. Music of Your Life could sell your company's product. We reach over 2 million listeners with expendable incomes. We can send you a long list of Music of Your Life advertisers and information on the network. The first 100 callers who call and send their business card will receive this great new Glenn Miller CD. We'll forward the new CD to the first 100 potential advertisers. Please call 212-947-0049, extension 304. That's 212-947-0049, extension 304. Call, and Music of Your Life will help increase your sales.
KNRC cares about the health and well-being of our listeners and welcome you to tune in this Saturday from 6 to 9 a.m. and Sunday from 7:30 to 10 a.m. for a selection of fine programming committed to the betterment of your health. You'll hear about new and innovative products and programs that will allow you to lead a healthier and happier life. You'll also have immediate access to staff members who can answer your questions and assist in ensuring your personal needs. So join us Saturday and Sunday morning on AM 1150 KNRC.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
The Swinging Jazz Concert Season opens November 7th and 8th as star musicians perform in two special shows at the Donald Sewell Grand Ballroom in the DCPA. The event features top-shelf jazz musicians, two dance floors, a buffet, and cabaret table seating. Doors open at 6:15 and the music starts at 7 p.m. Tickets are available at the door or reserve in advance by calling 303-670-8471 or online at summitjazz.com. Time is money. If your checking account isn't earning interest, you're wasting time. Stop by any Key Bank today for their free checking account with interest. Account early closure fee applies. The solution is Key. Member FDIC.
AM 1150 KNRC is proud to continue a Denver broadcast tradition. The State of Colorado, produced in conjunction with the Denver Press Club and Rocky Mountain Reflections. The State of Colorado is where Greg Dobbs hosts a panel of Denver journalists discussing the major stories of the week every Friday morning from 8 to 9:30. It's the most in-depth analysis and perspective on Denver radio. The State of Colorado is brought to you in part by Denver Center Attractions and International Optique. Friday mornings at 8 on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, this is Bill O'Reilly. Join me live every weekday morning from 10 to noon here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
2:54 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. Yours for just a few more minutes, and then Doug Kellett takes over 3 to 6. Dominic and Billy tonight, only it's Dominic. Going to do Queer Eye for the Straight Board Op. Poor Justin. They're going to give him a new hair color, a cut, and a wax. What are they going to wax? Oh, never mind. Do gay people have more of a sense of fashion than straight people? We're going to find out with Denver's hottest stylist from Salon Utopia on Queer Eye for the Straight Board Off. Dominic and Billy, 6 to 9 tonight. Let's go right to the phones and to Bill in Longmont. Hi, Bill. You're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I don't know if I can talk about CBS after that wonderful story in the last call. That was beautiful about Rain.
Isn't that? She's wonderful, and I'll read some of her emails. She's fabulous.
But after the revelation she had at the first of her call, I've been humming the Supreme song Love Child ever since. I get it out of my head.
Tell me quick, though. We don't have much time.
CBS, I don't think the advertiser boycott had anything to do with it. You know, as a talk show host, that a lot of people, that you have a lot of listeners that listen because they don't like you. And I think that would have been the same case with a miniseries like this. A lot of people would have watched just to document the liberal bias.
And a lot of people are going to watch just to see what all the news has been about when it appears on Showtime. But I'm not a Showtime subscriber.
There was a call from the Republican National Committee chairman to Lee Moonves, the head of CBS. And I think what that call was about was your boss at Viacom is among the big media companies that want the repeal of ownership limits. we are trying to get that for you, but we're not going to work that hard.
Oh, there you go.
I think that's what that was all
about. I think maybe you're onto something. And also, I know Mike Wallace is a good friend, supposed to be a good friend of Nancy Reagan, so I imagine stuff happened there. Bill, thank you very much. I think you're onto something. Sean, in Denver, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, Enid, how are you doing today?
Doing well.
Hey, great. I just want to thank you for that call, the young woman who called about rain and all that. Just in such a culture of negativity that we have going on right now, where it seems like everybody wants to talk about slamming somebody else and how horrible everything is, to have that kind of ray of hope and happiness and sunshine out there just can really turn it around.
These are two girls, Liz and Sam, who took these other two girls, Rain and her friend Amy, under their wing to help them out. They've both been through a lot, these two girls. And I think it's just amazing that people would go to that length. Amazing story.
It's fabulous. I mean, it goes in with that, you know, practice, what is it, random acts of kindness and senseless acts of beauty. If more people would do that, if we could, you know, it's the same old story. More people need to be nice to each other, et cetera, we all talk about it, but we don't do it. What a nicer place it would be to live in.
I agree with you. I thank you, Shane.
You know, thank you for having her on, and thanks to her for doing that, for being that kind of person, you know, with everything that she's probably having to look at every day anyhow.
Thanks for the call, Sean. I appreciate it. And Doug Kellett in the studio. Hi. Coming up next, 3 to 6 right here. What you going to talk about?
How are you doing today, by
I'm
the way?
I'm doing well.
Yeah, me too. Well,
we had all kinds of juicy rumors and scandals. We were having fun.
I know. And there's so much to talk about. It's one of those days where you really, you don't know if you can pack it all in, but we're going to do our best. We're going to talk a little bit about, I don't know if you have today, about the memo from the Senate Intelligence Committee that's been going around, and there's some concern about that, and we'll kind of get into that, and we're hoping to have some guests on this. But also, I haven't really talked about the Reagan movie. Have you touched on this?
Yeah, a little bit.
I want to give my take on this, because I've gotten a few emails, people asking about it, and got an interesting story, too, that Patty Davis, who was Reagan's daughter, who obviously didn't care much about her politics, or his politics.
She still is his daughter.
Right, I'm sorry. Still is a daughter.
Even though she posed nude in Playboy.
Yeah, he didn't disown her, did he? So we'll talk a little bit about that.
Well,
and also,
you may not remember that she's his daughter.
Not anymore.
I'm sorry about
that. Now, that was cruel,
Edith. I don't mean to be so mean.
I can't believe you said that. Anyway.
Yes, you can.
Yes, I can. We're going to talk also about who's funding the terrorists out there, and we've got a guest during the 4 o'clock hour, so I hope people hang around.
Doug Kellett from 3 to 6 right here on AM 1150 KNRC. I have only Jordan to thank. Joe Anderson was out sick today. He's got that flu that's going around. Jordan, you did a great job. You really nailed it today. Thank you so much, Jordan Lyles. La, la, la. don't forget Dominic. They're going to make over poor Justin. God bless him. If he survives this, he can survive anything. I'm Enid Goldstein. I hope you've survived today. We had a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun today. Let's do it again tomorrow. Noon to 3 right here on AM 1150 KNRC. Really do something generous. Let Liz and Sam be your guides here. Leave the world a better place than you found it. And I'll see you at noon right here on
KNRC 1150.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150 KNRC. Inglewood, Denver. Doug Kellett is straight ahead. It's 3 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Cloudy, 32 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Taco Bell. You'll pay 50 cents an hour less for using a parking meter in Denver starting the day after Thanksgiving. Mayor John Hickenlooper made good on a campaign promise today by lowering the rate at meters in downtown Denver, the Golden Triangle, and along Colfax Avenue from $1.50 an hour to just $1. The mayor will also start a one-year test for free Sunday parking starting the Sunday after Turkey Day. Hickenlooper says most downtown business owners like the idea of free parking on Sundays.
That'll be a one-year trial period. Again, there are some business owners that were concerned about employees taking up all the parking spaces, but I think we'll try it for a year. Most of the people we talked to were completely in favor of it. A few sirens of displeasure, but free parking on Sundays will begin the day after Thanksgiving.
He also instituted a parking ticket amnesty program that will be in effect from November 12th through the end of the year. That program seeks to address the matter of more than $45 million in unpaid parking tickets. Thumbs up. That's pretty much the reaction of downtown business owners after Hickenlooper's announcement today. Nick Selby, the executive chef at Vesta Dipping Grill in Lodo, applauds the mayor's move.
We've worked way too hard to build Lodo to see people not coming in or coming down here because they're intimidated by parking rates and and having to pay a meter and the boot and not knowing about these cash keys and this, that, and the other thing. And I think it's excellent.
Noel Hickey is a co-owner of the Celtic Tavern in Lodo and has this to say about Denver's top politician keeping a promise.
He's not a politician, he's a businessman.
And indeed he is. Hickenlooper is the owner of the Lodo-based Winku Brewing Company. The Denver Rescue Mission needs your help with one of the big holiday feasts. Greta Ritchie of the Denver Rescue Mission says turkey contributions are always welcome before Thanksgiving, but preferably sooner than later.
We try to let people know early enough that we can really use them now. It'll help us know how many turkeys we have for that day. So if people can get out there early before Thanksgiving and pick up one turkey and just bring it down to the Denver Rescue Mission, it will really help us out a lot.
Richie says any size turkey will do just fine, and you can drop it off at the mission anytime, day or night. They're located at 23rd and Lawrence. Silver Creek High School in Longmont has a student whose main subject seems to be growing. The student, who wasn't identified by the police, had allegedly taken some people to see a homemade greenhouse just off school property where he was reportedly trying to grow marijuana. Officials saw some students going to the area of the mini greenhouse and investigated. Officials at the school haven't said if the boy will be charged. Police say the marijuana had been started too late and wasn't growing well at all. A federal judge in Nebraska has issued a temporary restraining order that blocks a partial birth abortion ban signed into law by President Bush earlier today. The order was imposed by Chief Judge Richard G. Kopf of the U.S. District Court in Lincoln after a number of doctors filed suit seeking to ban the legislation. The ban, as signed by President Bush, imposes the first federal limit on abortion since the U.S. Supreme Court confirmed a woman's constitutional right to end her pregnancy in 1973. A preliminary injunction hearing has been set for next Wednesday. A Seattle area man admitted today to being the deadliest serial killer in our nation's history. Correspondent George Lynn has more.
Gary Ridgway has pleaded guilty to murdering 48 women over a period of two decades. He admitted to the crimes as part of a deal with prosecutors to avoid the death penalty. He will instead spend the rest of his life in prison without the possibility of parole. Ridgway cooperated with detectives towards the end of the investigation by helping them locate missing victims. That was pivotal in avoiding the death penalty. George Lynn, Seattle.
The attacks on U.S. troops in Iraq are intensifying. There were three separate incidents in the northern city of Mosul today that left at least five American soldiers wounded and three Iraqis dead, including a young boy. Meanwhile, starting tonight, National Guard and Reserve troops could get orders to begin preparing for deployment to Iraq. The troops will be part of a rotation to replace the 132,000 soldiers that are already in Iraq. Democratic presidential hopeful Howard Dean is standing by some very controversial remarks he made recently. Last week, the former Vermont governor started taking heat for announcing that he wanted, quote, the votes of guys with Confederate flags in their pickup trucks. In New York City today, after being slammed by fellow presidential candidates over his comments, Dean said he will not shy away from those remarks. Stocks fell slightly today, with the Dow Jones Industrial Average dropping 18 points to finish at 98.21. The tech-heavy NASDAQ ended on the plus side, gaining more than a point to close the session at 1959, and the broader S&P 500 index dropped more than a point to end at the 10:52 mark. In sports, it's a big meeting tonight as two rookies meet for the first time on the court since they were in high school. The Denver Nuggets' Carmelo Anthony will be on the court tonight against the Cleveland Cavaliers' LeBron James. The Nuggets are 2-2, while the Cavs are 0-3 this season. That game is tonight in Cleveland. Try the freshly prepared Zesty Chicken Bowl at Taco Bell with grilled all-white meat chicken so it tastes even better. Available at participating locations. When you want quality, think outside the bun. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 3:05.
Wow, I can't believe it. 50 years. Hi, this is Keith Lair with my sister Linda asking you to come see Lair Fireplace and Patio for all your fireplace needs and help us celebrate our 50th year in business.
Lair's is truly a family business. With our brother Ken at our Arvada store at 81st and Sheridan, I'm at our Littleton store on South Broadway just north of Arapahoe Road, and Keith is at our original store in Denver at Holly and Evans.
When our father, Joe Lair, started in 1954, he had a very simple philosophy: sell quality products and treat your customers fairly. You know what? It's worked for 50 years.
That's why we carry quality fireplaces and inserts from Mendota.
If you're building, remodeling, or converting an existing fireplace to gas, check out the superior construction and efficiency of Mendota.
You know, the fireplace is the focal point of most rooms, so do it right. Don't skimp. Get a Mendota. Our expert installers can give you a free estimate right in your home.
That's Lair Fireplace and Patio, Denver's most trusted fireplace specialist for 50 years.
KNRC News Time is 3:06. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by the 17 John Elway Showrooms. Got a